Walk, Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com. AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A beautiful day turned ugly fast at Dawson College in Montreal today when a young man dressed in black walked in with a rifle.
I realized that, like, there's three people down on the floor bleeding. I was in the bushes with my friends hiding.
20 people were injured, 8 critical. One is dead, the gunman shot by police.
This guy who kind of looked like a goth, who had long black hair, he was wearing a black jacket, pulled a what looked like a machine gun or submachine gun out of his bag and started opening single-shot fires on people. People were hit.
The motive is a mystery. What a shock in Dalton, Illinois, after police moved into a bank hostage situation.
We were able to get the hostages out of the building. However, we did not locate the alleged gunman.
Dalton police spokesman Sean Howard, they think they know who the bad guy is. They just don't know where he is. Groups like Women in Government want all girls old enough for sex, and they're talking 12 and up, to have the cervical cancer vaccine.
This vaccine should be available to all children, all girls, regardless of their socioeconomic status. And so that is why we are really promoting having the opportunity to make it available.
Susan Crosby with praise for Michigan's plan to require sixth grade girls next year to have the vaccination before enrolling in school. Institute of Medicine says in just 4 years, 20% of America's school-age young people will be obese.
Childhood has changed and has probably changed forever. Gone are the days of playing tag, hide-and-go-seek, riding your bicycle, playing soccer and kickball, and in are the days of Nintendo, Sony, Xbox, sitting down and have more junk food to eat while they're sitting down.
That's CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Sean Kniff. The GOP bill to legalize military tribunals is out of committee in the Senate, but it'll have some competition on the floor from moderate Republicans.
The key points they differ on are whether hearsay evidence can be used at military tribunals. The McCain-Warner-Graham contingency say hearsay shouldn't be used. The White House does not want the detainees to get access to classified information that would be used against them, and yet these key senators say that should be allowed.
That's CBS's Cheryl Atkinson on Capitol Hill. CBS News and the New York Times have a new survey. People believe global warming is real.
67% of Americans believe that global warming is an environmental problem that's having a serious impact now. Fewer than half as many, just 28%, don't think it's having a serious impact.
That's Deputy Survey Director for CBS News, Sarah Dutton. Bobby Brown will be singing to someone new before long. Whitney Houston is giving him his walking papers. Whitney has filed for divorce after 14 years of marriage and one 13-year-old daughter. On Wall Street, the Dow up more than 45 points on the day to close at 11,543. The Nasdaq gained nearly 12. Oil prices, $63.97 a barrel, up 21 cents. This is CBS News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
Honey, what color should we paint the bedroom?
Nah, sweetie, I don't care.
Okay, then pink it is.
Pink? Now I care.
It's the fall color sale going on now at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Stop in and save 20% on a wide variety of high-quality Sherwin-Williams paints and stains. Plus, get free shipping on custom order wallpaper, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit Sherwin-Williams.com.
fashion plates in the glitter set. People Magazine's Lisa Carter.
When People Magazine put together the annual Best and Worst Dressed list, the magazine did something different. Readers voted online, more than 250,000 of them, for this year's top 10 best-dressed women. Receiving the most votes, 54%, trendsetter Jennifer Aniston. There are two Oscar winners in the top 10, Halle Berry and Charlize Theron. Several pop stars, Beyoncé Knowles and Jessica Simpson among them. And Desperate Housewife Eva Longoria was voted the fashion dynamo.
You couldn't open an airliner's door in flight if you wanted to, unless you were Hercules. The air pressure in the cabin would keep that door in its seals, but you would sure get everyone's attention if you tried. Happened on a United Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Dulles in Washington. A passenger became unruly, did a little shadow boxing, and then tried to open the door. Other passengers sat on him till the air marshals would get the cuffs on him. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Local and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Six, 6 minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the wonderful Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. The housekeeping details, my shows are archived on whiterosesociety.org. So if you have missed an interview or you want to hear a previous show, you can go there. Today we are going to be joined in the next hour, in the 4 o'clock hour, if all goes well, by Wayne Slater and James Moore. They have written this incredible book about Karl Rove called The Architect, The Master Plan for Absolute Power. And Wayne Slater is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News. He has covered Karl Rove for quite a while. So I'm looking forward to this interview. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Nora Ephron. Her new book is called I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. It's her first collection of essays in two decades. It is number one on the New York Times bestseller list. She is also a screenwriter. She's a director. I think she wrote the screenplay for When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle. And I think she directed Silkwood, and she has had a number of bestsellers. She'll be with us tomorrow. On Monday, we're going to be joined by Edward P. Jones, who is both a Pulitzer and National Book Award-winning author. He has written a new book called All Aunt Hager's Children. I think it's a collection of stories. So this is coming up on Enid Live. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can call me. It's always toll-free if you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, or 866-626-1320. I guess I have to lead with the advisory we're getting from CBS News. Entertainment Tonight is reporting that singers Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown are divorcing. This is an advisory. Oh, no. All is not completely lost, but it's en route. We have lots to talk about, and I want to go right to the Angelitas Arnold brouhaha, because it's an issue. It is getting more traction, and the way the story is taking place. Here's, if you have forgotten the outlines of the story. Suddenly we see in the Los Angeles Times, because it was leaked to the Los Angeles Times, that Arnold, in off-the-cuff comments,
has said that a Latina, Republican Latina legislator is hot, and because she has a combination of Hispanic blood or Latino blood, and she's partly black, and on, you know, it goes on, and so he's making these comments about her. Well, it hits the newspapers. The Latina legislator says she's not offended by these comments. Arnold calls African Americans. He calls Hispanics the next day. He apologizes publicly to everybody that he can think of to apologize to. And then the question that I asked him at that time is, where did this information come from? How did anybody get their hands on it? That's going to be another story. Well, indeed it is. Comes from the Angelitas camp. Now, for a long time, I've been pointing my finger at Phil Angelitas, and I've been saying, is this guy missing in action? I think he's missing in action. He could be getting traction. He doesn't have as much money to spend on advertising as Arnold does, so he could be getting traction in other ways. He could be thinking of bold moves that he could be making, and he would get a lot of ink in the papers, a lot of TV time, FaceTime, if he would take some bold activity or make some bold stand. But he hasn't done it. And one was suggested by the blogosphere. Bloggers thought that if he stood up there and said, if I am elected governor on the first day of my reign, governors don't reign, do they? They pour. Anyway, on the first day that I'm the governor of California, the state of California, commander-in-chief of the National Guard of the state of California, I will order our sons and daughters back home because there's a law on the books that allows me to do that if we don't have enough people to defend us here in California. Even if he couldn't have done it, I think it would have, and there must have been some way that he could have justified saying something like that. I mean, the newspapers would be full of it. He would get so much press. There are a lot of things that he could have said. He could have said something about universal health care, which, if he said it, it's so quiet, it hasn't really been reported. You can't just say it. You've got to say it in a way that's so bold, it will, it has to be printed, it has to generate headlines and so on. Well, so here's what's happened. What happened is the Angelitas people were slow to respond. First of all, there was some question as to, was it password protected, was it not password protected area on the governor's website. The Angelitas people saying it wasn't password protected, so therefore there was not an improper incursion into that website, that it was all properly done. Now, it seems to me if you're the Angelitas camp, I said this yesterday, and I've been thinking about this, then what you can do is you can say how inept the Schwartzy campaign is, that they put this stuff out there that they shouldn't have put out, that anybody, any person, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can access this stuff, and it doesn't have to be the Angelitas campaign, and they're pointing out the weaknesses in Arnold's exterior, which is heavily made up in chestnut, in hues of chestnut. But the campaign didn't do it. They are now forced on the defensive because Arnold's rapid response people just pointed a finger. They said this was inappropriate. What a lowlife Phil is. What a gutter snipe he is. You know, and they went on. So where is the Angelitas campaign? On the defensive. They shouldn't be on the ropes. They should be pointing right back. They should be, you know, punching right away. I am from the school of, if you're, you know, punch back. That is the school I am from. So if, and they should have defined the terrain, the Angelitas people should have defined the terrain in advance. But here's the story. Angelitas' campaign manager, Kathy Calfo, summoned the media to Angelitas' campaign headquarters, where she said, now, and I think this is, I don't think this is the right way to spin it. And yesterday when I was listening to a newscast coming in, there was comment, there was a spokesperson from Schwartzy's campaign, but there was no spokesperson from Phil's campaign. Phil's campaign, those people should have been out there making, taking that lemon and turning it into lemonade. I mean, we want traction, we want headlines, but these aren't the best headlines to get. But anyway, his campaign manager summoned the media to Phil's Sacramento headquarters, where she said Phil was disappointed to learn that his aides had downloaded more than 4 hours of tape from a state website and released the portion without telling their supervisors. Betraying her dread of another damage control news conference, she said she was collecting all of the facts and that, after she gets them, I'll probably have to do this again, unfortunately. So it's a couple of aides who apparently did this. What's interesting, if that's the way the story winds up being, because that's what's being initially reported, if that's the way the story winds up being, here are two aides, not of the highest level, and they take it upon themselves to pretty much help to sink the campaign. So I have said they are not running the best campaign here. I have said that because you know, I'm not on the blast list. Just the way they're handling this is not the smartest way of handling a campaign. You have got a couple of lower-level staffers suddenly dropping this bombshell and sending it off to the Los Angeles Times. Now, maybe that didn't happen that way. Maybe they really did get permission. But maybe the way the story is being spun now is that nobody knew about it, and these two people are going to have to take a hit. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, because here is the headline of today's Los Angeles Times story. Governor sails on as foe hits the shoals. In other words, he's flailing away. It just makes him look more inept. He's already having a hard time raising money for the campaign. This isn't going to help. And if I were to ask you this question, how can Phil's campaign spin this story and turn it to their advantage? What would you say? If you were running a campaign, what would you do? How would you spin this? The Angelitas camp says that these tapes were unsecured on an official website. Well, if that's really the story and it holds up, then you say these people are so inept. This is an example of how Arnold runs the state of California. If the way he runs his website is the way he runs the state of California, there are a lot of leaks. It is technologically not well done. Anybody could have accessed this information. You better hope that your Social Security number is nowhere near Arnold, because that could wind up on his website, too. And people could, you know, he could have some fun with this. And he could do something with it. But they are just in a defensive mode. So here is Matiran Ross in today's San Francisco Chronicle. That sound you hear is the backfire coming from Phil Angelides' gubernatorial campaign for its on-the-sly release of Schwartz's comments about hot-blooded Latinos. The Angelides folks would like everyone to believe that there's more embarrassing material on the tapes the Democratic campaign obtained from a governor's website, which may or may not have been secure, but that the firestorm over the affair is making it impossible for them to circulate other remarks. That's the real irony here, said an Angelides insider who would only speak on condition of anonymity. These two guys, these two campaign staffers, are on their own, get this stuff. Then, thinking they found some kind of silver bullet, they go and leak it to the press, or they're on their own, thinking that they're going to be heroes. Nope. But even if there is more damaging material in the 4 hours of taped conversation, some Democrats doubt whether it would hurt the governor. If it was somebody buttoned up like Gray Davis or Pete Wilson, maybe, but somebody who's rowdy, who's a former actor, a guy who's already seen his course, like Schwartzy, it's not going to hurt his image. It's sort of what you expect of him. What do you think? If you were running Phil's campaign, how would you spin this to your advantage? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Martin in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, hi. So I guess in answer to your question, I think that if I were on Phil's campaign, I would just sort of fire these two people and just stop talking about this stuff and sort of chalk it up as something that might have helped, but in the end is probably going to hurt him more the more he tries to sort of...
Well, I think firing him, I don't know. I think that's the whimper of defeat in there. How would you spin it? I mean, firing them, I don't... First of all, one of them, I think, might be his press secretary. So that put... Somebody there in that campaign, they are not running a good campaign. They don't have a rapid response. They don't have people speaking to the media, characterizing it and spinning it in their favor. And a lot of media are not on their blast list. And that tells me that they don't know what they're doing over there.
Well, right. You know, if what's happened is sort of correct, that you know, they might have downloaded something that they shouldn't have, or even they downloaded something, but the governor's sort of team has been...
If you're spinning it on your own behalf, why say that they downloaded something that they shouldn't have? Why don't they turn it into a plus? We should have downloaded it. We should tell what he's really like, and this was not secure. We didn't do anything wrong.
Well, but fine, but it seems like no matter how many times they try to turn this to their advantage, it seems like they keep getting burned, and that the papers keep reporting that this is sort of a mess up for the...
But I don't think they've really tried hard to turn it to their advantage, and I don't think they've tried effectively. And I will add one more thing, Martin, to this, and that is, I think when you're going against somebody who's well-liked, and apparently Arnold is... it doesn't matter what the reality of the situation is. People tend to go with the people they like.
No. Well, my point is that it's too late, I think, for them to turn this into gold. I think they've sort of already, you know, they're already turned into a mess. And so the easiest thing to do is to just fire whoever did it and then just move on and then not talk about it anymore. Because
cut it loose.
What's that?
Cut it loose.
Yeah, right, because every time it seems like he tries to say something or trying to fix the situation, it gets worse and worse and worse. So at some point you just say, well, you know, this might have helped, this might not have helped, but it's definitely not helping now. So, you know, rather than keep shooting ourselves in the foot every day, let's just kind of cut our losses and
move on. That's right. The American mantra. Move on, move forward, move ahead. Okay, thanks, Martin. I appreciate your comments. 349-1320. Sherry, in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid. I'm sorry, I disagree. You cannot cut your losses and move on. That's what the problem with the Democrats is. I'm not even a Democrat, but they never answer the questions. They never face any of the criticism. This is not about who brought up these comments. This is about the comments that were made. This is the governor of the state of California. He is making racist comments. This is the same man who is a womanizer, who never answered questions in his gubernatorial race about that. This is the same man.
Wait, it gets worse. It gets worse. Go ahead.
This is the same man who said that he admired Hitler, for gosh sakes.
All right, there's an editorial. Sherry, there's an editorial in today's Los Angeles Times, a woman writing it, and the subhead is, why are so many politicians of color casually dismissing the governor's racist comments? So along your lines, and the writer of it, who is a woman, says she especially recalled the story that Schwarzenegger himself told a porn magazine in 1977 about how he and other bodybuilders jumped on a black woman at Gold's Gym in Venice, asked if it was a gangbang. He said yes.
Yeah. But that's okay because he doesn't have to answer questions.
Democrats
have to do that.
Why doesn't the Angelides campaign do something with this? You know, the governor can change his makeup, but can he change his spots?
I think you got to jump on it and say, look, this is not about who discovered the information. Let's talk about the information that was discovered. This is a man sitting in the state capitol. He's despicable. He does not belong there.
Sherry, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. Stan in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Stan.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Well, I think it's just a reflection of his Aryan upbringing.
Oh, you do?
Oh, I definitely do.
Well,
no one's ever brought up the fact that he was raised that way.
He was allegedly abused by a father who was a big Hitler admirer.
There you go.
But what would you do if you were the Angelides campaign? How could you spin it to your benefit instead of they're now roped into a corner in a defensive posture?
That's, of course, the best defense is an offense, and I would come out swinging with it.
So would I. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Patricia, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid, yeah, you're absolutely right about Phil Angelides. I mean, he's got so many points to attack Schwarzenegger on. It's unbelievable, but what I've been following recently was, you remember yesterday you had a call talking about the workman's comp and how it helped save. Well, maybe he's not understanding it from an employee's view, that what Schwarzenegger's attempt to do with that was to reform it in a sense that made it, okay, yes, we do want to stop people who are abusing the system, but there are things in place for that, meaning you do have investigators that are out there making sure that these people are not abusing when they use workman's comp. But the thing, what he tried to do is he tried to create more hoops for people to jump through that actually need it. For example, like
the question I am asking here is, what would you do if you are Phil Angelides? How would you spin this to effect? How would you use this in your own service rather than to be roped into a corner? And part of what Angelides is suffering from is everyone thinks he runs gutter campaigns, so now he doesn't want to come out swinging, I guess. I think he ought to swing and swing hard.
He's got, I mean, like I said, he's got so much. He can just come out and just bang, 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 make bullet points of everything that Schwarzenegger is planning on doing if he does get reelected. And, I mean, these issues hit to the heart of Californians, especially when you look at deregulation of energy companies. That's how Enron, you remember the whole Enron
thing. Yes, absolutely. And why isn't Phil out there saying, look, if you vote for me, I'm going to look at re-regulating energy in the state of California so that you have the same modest bills you had before the state went crazy with deregulation. Why isn't he saying stuff like that? Where is he on universal health care?
He needs to fire his campaign advisors.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's too late. I don't know. This is the most anorexic campaign I think I've encountered in quite a while, even though we're supporters here. But Patricia, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-1620. Larry in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Larry. Welcome.
Hi there, Enid. You know, to answer your question, how Angelides' camp should approach this, I wouldn't even mention how they received it. I would only ask the question, did you say that? And I would have go to various...
I don't know if it's too late for that, because what has happened now is that the governor's rapid response team, Arnold's rapid response team, characterized it that Angelides is like it was breaking and entering into a sacred website that apparently was not password protected, or at least the Angelides camp claims it wasn't password protected. And so now Phil's on the defensive, and they're not out there swinging.
Well, I would go to the various, you know, various ethnic groups and let them ask them, you know, ask the question. You know, I understand the one issue about how they got it, but the question is, why don't you answer the question? Let's talk about your racist remarks, period. Now, let them defend whether it was password protected or not. I understand that it was an open segment. People had access to it. Let them defend it. Don't even mention that. Just keep on repeating, was it true? What is your response?
Okay. I thank you for the call, Larry. 349-1320, Esther in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Esther.
Oh, hi. Enid, I have 2 points.
Yes.
About the Schwarzenegger information they got. Schwarzenegger could have, they could turn this around on him. Why did he leave that open for them to get in, for anyone to get into?
Right.
I think he left it open purposely, because then he could turn around and make hay out of it. So what they should do is say, yeah, he turned around. And you got to remember that you got a chain man from Washington. They send him down here to work for Schwarzenegger.
That's right.
And he know how to change this stuff around.
Well, you know what? Here's the line they could use. That once again, the website was unzipped, just like Schwarzenegger's pants are most of the time. All right, Esther, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I mean, Goldstein, how can Phil spin this to his advantage? How can we inject some Viagra into his gubernatorial campaign? 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have lows today. It looks like right around 69. Now, humid, though. I just stepped outside, and it's just unbelievable. I feel like I'm back east in Philadelphia. Our traffic southbound 99 by Free Ridge Road getting a little slow there. I have no accidents, though. But I do want to tell you that you can win a pair of tickets to the Auburn Fall Home Show going on Friday, September 29th, Sunday through Sunday, October 1st. There will be over 1,000 exhibits, landscapers, meadow, cooking demonstrations, interior design seminars, and you could win a $10,000 kitchen countertop from Atlantic Stone Products. The event will be held up at the gorgeous Gold Country Fairgrounds in Auburn. Hours are Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can log on to our website, of course, at 1320leftchannel.com and check that information out, along with emailing Enid. Lisa West here for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. You can call. It's always toll-free, 349-1320 or 866-620-61320. In the next hour, we are going to be joined by two men you are seeing all over the place, Wayne Slater and James Moore, the new book, The Architect, Karl Rove, and The Master Plan for Absolute Power. And by the way, the two authors that we had on, Michael Isikoff of Newsweek Magazine and David Korn of The Nation, writing the book Hubris, the day after we had them on, The Wall Street Journal finally reviewed the book, and I've seen them today all over Hard Ball on MSNBC, so we sort of scooped everybody, which is pretty good. We like that. We're talking about Phil Angelides, and we're talking about Arnold, and we're talking about Arnold's unscripted remarks that somehow found their way to the Los Angeles Times and happened courtesy of Phil's campaign. And apparently it was not on a secure part of the governor's website. However, because Arnold's got a very perky rapid response team, they have managed to spin it into Phil Angelides breaking into the governor's bedroom kind of a story, and running a gutter campaign and doing something almost illegal. And Angelides' campaign is cowering in a corner saying, well, it wasn't them, it was two low-level staffers. And, you know, instead of coming out swinging, come out and say, look, this was not a secure part of the website. Look what this governor is doing. Look at how he's hoovering up. He's vacuuming up special interest money. He proposed when he was a starry-eyed rookie to bar fundraising during Sacramento's critical decision-making campaign, imposing blackout periods would keep the special interest groups from funneling money into campaigns at that moment. But in any event, he's right now squeezing at least $3.5 million out of interest groups in August, the deadline month for state lawmaking. And if you get that cash, you've got to do paperwork. So what they do is they get the pledges instead. He's just scarfing it up. So where's Angelides to point a finger at that? Kevin, in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Enid, a quick list of what Phil can do.
Kevin, I'm going to spell my name for you. It's Enid, E-N-I-D.
Enid, okay.
Yeah.
Quick list.
Uh-huh.
He could get behind a clean energy bill that has set a new standard for the world. He could be for stem cell research. He could get behind a minimum wage increase.
Well, Arnold already cornered that market, and with all this legislation Arnold's been working on with Democrats, he's going to have like a signing ceremony a day until the election, practically.
Right, but Phil could get, here's my point, he could get behind the child safety bill that Arnold's for. He could protect free speech that Arnold's passing legislation for. He could do all these things, but he could do one different thing.
What?
And that's say, I'll tax the rich and cut taxes for the poor. But the problem you're having is, and just like the scandal that's going on, 70% of Californians think it's worse that Phil broke into the computer than it is of what Arnold said. And a lot of it has to do with all these things that Arnold's doing for this state.
Arnold has really done very little for the state, but the perception is, but people like to think that he is the Terminator, that he's an action hero. But what, Kevin, has Arnold done for the state?
Well, Enid, if you can't admit this, I'm going to have to rethink what I think.
No. What has Arnold done for the state of California while he has been the governor for the last couple of years?
Very good
question.
He
caused a special election that cost a fortune to implement, and he was soundly trounced on it. What has he done for California?
Well, he's done a wonderful thing with workman's compensation.
No, he hasn't. There's a lot of controversy about that.
Well, I've lived it, and I know it. So
that's your opinion, and it's contradicted by a lot of other people who've called. But go ahead. What else? What else? You called yesterday with the workman's compensation story.
He's very strong with the stem cell research, and he has been a.
What has he done for the state of California right here, right now, that you feel?
For legislation and monies to be used for stem cell research.
Stem cell.
Kevin,
you are part of the Schwartzy campaign.
I
can smell it a mile away.
Don't be afraid of the answer.
You don't have a good answer. It's yesterday's. You got yesterday's warmed over gruel of workman's compensation. Well, he's going to work on stem cell research. He's going to work on this. He's going to work on that. I'm asking you for the 2 years that he's been the governor. Concretely, what has he accomplished?
The Democrats said the minimum.
What has he accomplished?
Minimum wage increase.
What has he accomplished, Kevin? What has he accomplished?
The poor people of California.
What? I'm asking you, what has he accomplished right here, right now, before he signs the minimum wage bill, which he's only doing in an election year? He vetoed it when it came up before. What has Arnold accomplished?
He's accomplished a clean energy bill, and his budget is $7.5 million in surge that he says he wants to put to...
Oh, you don't have... You know, Kevin, you don't have an answer for me. 349-1320, 866-6... 26-13-20. What has Arnold accomplished? And you know, that ought to be Phil's mantra. What has Arnold accomplished? He's been here for 2 years. He's been test driving the position of governor of the state of California. And what has he done for the people of California? He cost them a lot of money to do that special election. You know, he said a lot of pretty words. He's called this one a hot Latina. He's called this one. But what has he concretely accomplished? Somebody please answer that question for me. Maggie from Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Maggie.
You know, I called you yesterday, right after that same guy who just got off the phone.
I think he's part of the campaign.
And he reeks of campaign. And I was on hold, and you had a guest coming in.
Ode to campaign.
I'm listening to the show. I hear this guy call, and I'm thinking, this is the same guy from yesterday. And my
apparently we only know. Have apparently we only have four listeners, but go ahead.
Anyway, Schwarzenegger, he's the Terminator, Rod. He has terminated benefits for injured workers. He has done nothing for the small business person, and everything for insurance, big insurance and big business.
He just vetoed universal health care, which I want to talk about because there are. I want to share this. Maggie, I'm glad you brought that up. All right.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, yes.
He was on the television the other day, and he said, I'm from Europe, and I know they have a lot of socialized medicine over there, so I know a lot of bit. He was 17 years old when he left. What does he know about European socialized medicine?
Well, here's the other question. Has he ever read a book that didn't have pictures of muscle men in it?
That would be
thank you, Maggie. All right, here, I just got this from, this comes from Dr. Lawrence Gowan. He says, I think it's vital that we get large numbers of people at these press conferences, and there are going to be conferences all over the state, San Diego, Los Angeles, Fresno, Sacramento, the Bay Area. He says it's estimated that Senate Bill 840 on universal health care that Arnold has already written in a piece, I think in the San Diego paper, that he is going to veto it. It comes to his desk. September the 18th, first thing in the morning. You know he's going to veto it because it would go against the interests of big business. But here's Dr. Gowan in there swinging away, and good for him for doing it. He said if 840 were implemented, and this is universal health, single-payer universal health care in California, it is estimated state government would save $900 million each year regarding employee, retiree health benefits. Los Angeles Unified School District would save up to almost $280 million each and every year, plus the savings of all the other public agencies. Also, the coverage would be better, and the costs would be less for individuals, families, and businesses. How can Governor Schwarzenegger not sign this bill into law? Here he is in there vacuuming up big contributions from special interests. That's how he has not going to sign this bill into law. Thanks again for your help and participation. So he wants people to be reminded that there are going to be press conferences Tuesday, September 19, 11 a.m. in San Diego, Los Angeles, Fresno, Sacramento, the Bay Area. Locations are going to be determined. Write to the governor, tell the governor why it's so important for him to join us and sign this carefully written bill that will build a health care system for all of us, one we will be proud of for years to come. The governor needs to hear how our broken health care system is hurting California families and seniors, workers and businesses, and the productivity of our community. But you know what? He's not going to listen because this is not where his bread and butter lies. 349-1320 Red in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Red.
Listen, on this Angelitis flap, I think the thing that Angelitis could best do is ignore the matter. That would turn it into lemonade and give one speech, one direct, clear message that speaks to any core Democratic progressive value. He hasn't done that since the beginning.
He can't. You know, that's too nice. Red, it is too nice to speak to the core Democratic progressive value. He's got to come out and really do something very bold.
No. I'm saying speak strong. Universal health care, bring the troops home.
Okay.
Drug policy, I don't care what it is, but he hasn't once spoken to me or to his own base.
What has he said, and why isn't he forcing Arnold to say what Arnold's feelings are in the war in Iraq?
He hasn't. Angelides himself has not. Listen, I'll give you an example of an elected politician, a Democrat, who actually has spoken truth to power. And of all places, Salt Lake City, Mayor Anderson. And I suggest people go to his website and read the speech. I have never read a speech like that, and I didn't think there were any statesmen, politicians left in America. There is one. Angelides has not done it, and I challenge you to tell me one reason I should vote for him. As you know, I'm a committed progressive.
Because he's not Arnold is the only thing I can say right now.
I will not vote for somebody. I don't trust Angelides anymore. I think he's just another politician. I can't in good conscience vote for him, even at the risk that Schwarzenegger will get it. That's not the way I vote. When I vote for something that I can value. Not just crushing the others.
Well, I think you probably are not alone in this, Red. And
that's what Angelides needs to know. You know, I sent him a letter, and I said much the same thing. Start speaking to our core values. Start speaking to our real needs. And say it clearly and take your chances and speak to your base, not the right center base. And you know what I got back from them?
What?
Angelides is a good family man, blah, blah, blah.
You got a form letter.
I don't know if it was a form letter or it was just, you know, but it was the usual garbage that just proved my point.
Well, I thank you.
I said, this man is dealing. He's not going to push.
He's toast if he doesn't get it together and the clock is ticking. Red, I thank you for your observation.
Yeah, I know you guys have supported him, and I don't support Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
I know that.
Yeah, I thank you for calling. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I mean, at Goldstein, what can Phil do to pull it out? How can he put the best spin on this whole internet fiasco with Arnold? How can he start moving and striding very boldly forward? Why hasn't he been striding boldly forward is another question. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we do have a little bit of traffic going on over there. Southbound 99 at Free Ridge Road. And I tell you, when I was on my way to work today, the traffic was just horrendous. There, northbound Cap City Freeway, Auburn, there was a three-car crash. And I find out that it is still, they're still cleaning that up a bit. Hit and run, Cypress and Manzanita. We also have a hit and run eastbound I-80 just east of Norwood Avenue. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Are you paying?
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beat Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me.
You and me.
It's the Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job and want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them.
artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7. And in the next hour, we're going to find out everything you wanted to know or maybe didn't want to know about Karl Rove. Two people who have covered him for quite a while will be joining us. The new book is called The Architect, Karl Rove, and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. It is in this book that it was revealed that Karl Rove's stepfather is gay. Karl Rove made noises about suing the authors because he didn't want some of the information in the book to be published. So we'll find out all about that in the next hour if all goes well. The question I'm asking, several questions. For those of you who are Republicans and conservatives and big Arnold supporters, what has Arnold done for us in the last 2 years that he's been governor? Exactly. What has he done for California? And if you were Phil, how would you run your campaign? How would you spin the story of the internet, leaving your jewels out for people to steal on the internet because you weren't smart enough to protect them? So maybe the analogy is if Arnold's not smart enough to protect his information on the internet, is he smart enough to protect the people of California? 349-1320, 866-620-6320. We have one line open. Kurt in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
You're
I was calling to tell you that, you know, Arnold's been doing all these, or at least a couple of things here and there to court some of those of us further to the left. And I think that, it's not a completely far out hope that he might pass the universal health care bill to court.
He's already said in a printed piece that he wrote in the San Diego paper that he's not going to do it. He's not signing it.
Well, yeah, but should we give up on him?
Well, why are you supporting him?
Oh, I'm only supporting him. I am only supporting his signing the bill.
But he says he's not going to sign the bill. He says he's not going to do it. He said we can't afford it, and he thinks it's socialized medicine, and he's not going for it. So what you should be doing, Kurt, it seems to me, is supporting the person who would sign the bill, whoever that person may be, and we hope it's Phil. 349-1320, Eva in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eva.
Enid?
Yes, welcome.
Hi. If I were Phil, I would handle this. This is a no-brainer. I emailed you this before. As the state treasurer, he received information that could place the entire state of California in jeopardy. That was a sexually discriminatory comment. And for Phil Angelides to, as a state official, to receive that type of information and then not report it to anybody, he would then be
he's irresponsible. Oh, that's good. Eva,
well,
that is, you should be on the campaign.
That's what they should be saying. If you are working in a company and somebody brings that type of information to you, especially if you are in a upper management capacity, it's incumbent upon you to do something with that information.
Oh, I think that's really good, Eva, because you're really in the soup if you do anything like that in any kind of large company.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, through that comment, has placed every taxpayer in the state of California in jeopardy, because if Bonnie Garcia decides either now or down the road to exercise her legal options for what is on that recording, guess who gets to pay the bill?
Does she have any grounds? I mean, is this an area, are you in HR? Or is this an area that you don't...
I'm very familiar with HR law.
Does she really have the grounds? If he says she's hot, hot-blooded, hot, is that enough for her to sue or to get some legal remedy?
If what he said made her uncomfortable, absolutely, she can sue. And people have sued for lesser comments that are not on audio tape by people that are not the governor of the state and won. And it was completely irresponsible for him to conduct himself that way.
Have you sent any of this to the Angelides campaign?
No, I was listening to this, and I just, you know, I hadn't really been giving it all that much thought, and I just thought to myself, it's ridiculous for them to hide about it. I would stand up and be proud of the fact that he took action on it. He did the responsible thing. It's incumbent upon him to do something with that information once he receives it. Who's he going to give it to? The governor? Who else could he give it to?
Send it to the Angelides campaign. Eva, I'm going to have to take a break, but I think it's a brilliant idea, and I thank you for it. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
The traffic is amazing right now on this hump day. We do have a crash, though, southbound 99 just past Mack Road, but it isn't stopping traffic. We have a fire at Kennedy Park. Now, I think that is rerouting. They're rerouting traffic there. Cypress Avenue and Manzanita, hit and run, no injuries, and an accident there at southbound 95 at Garden. That's downtown. Enid Live continues at AM 1320. We're at 89 at Sacramento's Left Channel.
Experience the original.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8th. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net. We need your support.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. You can talk to Enid at 349-1320.
.355 on a Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. We don't have a lot of time. Let's go right to the phones and to Don. Hi, Don. You're live with Enid.
Yeah, I was just listening a little earlier. I just found your station down here. I'm traveling on the freeway for Oregon right now, but you were talking about the universal health care. And, you know, basically, I would tend to vote for whoever is going to kill universal health care because I'm kind of a conservative-minded person. I don't believe in supporting other people's bad health living styles because that's surely what you'll do if you have universal health care.
No, you won't, and that's what you're doing. You will be providing health care for everybody at an affordable rate. What you're doing now is supporting a lot of people's bad habits, and you're spending quite a lot of money to do it, and it's costing you quite a lot of money. In addition, you are supporting very highly paid health care executives to the detriment of the kind of service you ought to be getting. So
well,
I think you need to.
And then you'll know. If you see how Canada works, you'll know we don't want
Canada works beautifully, and we are spending $5,000 per person in this country. People are suffering. 46 million of us have no health care whatsoever. Don, you've really got to do some reading on this, because universal health care is the best thing that could happen to the state of California. I think the best thing that could happen to the whole U.S.
Just take a vacation to Canada sometime.
No, I'm going to tell you something. You absolutely don't know what you're talking about on this one, but I do thank you for the call. 349-1320, Jonas in Woodland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jonas.
Hi. Why are you so cryptic of Arnold? What has any governor done in the last 10 years in California?
So don't expect him to do anything? So why have a governor who can do anything? Are you talking about setting the bar so low?
Phil's not going to do anything. Phil's not going to do anything better than Arnold.
Oh, so if nobody's going to do...
Words on the situation in Iraq.
There is this real sense that time is running out.
A shooting rampage in Montreal.
He's like just aiming the gun and shooting anybody he sees.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan just spent 2 weeks touring the Middle East.
Most of the leaders I spoke to felt the invasion of Iraq and its aftermath has been a real disaster.
These people in Baghdad likely share that view. Someone they loved was among the people killed in today's sectarian violence. Reporter Pete Gao is there.
Over the last 24 hours in Baghdad alone, 65 bodies have been recovered in various locations throughout the city. Now, the key to this is the fact that all the bodies had been bound hand and foot. And many of them had been shot through the head, executioner style, and a great number of the bodies bore signs of torture.
CBS News national security correspondent David Martin reports the Bush administration is beginning to acknowledge that the time to stabilize Iraq is running short.
If they don't get this sectarian violence under control by around the end of the year, then there's a good chance that this democratically elected Iraqi government, which is sort of the crown jewel of the whole American enterprise in Iraq, could fail.
Violence in Afghanistan has intensified with at least 50 people killed in suicide bombings and other attacks today. NATO commanders in the field say they need 2,500 more troops plus air support to fight the Taliban, but NATO military officials meeting in Brussels today failed to reach an agreement. Now this.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, I hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage-stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage-stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
A terrifying time on a Montreal college campus today when a man with a mohawk haircut wearing a black trench coat started shooting.
I heard a gunshot and it sounded like a really loud balloon popping. And then we saw everyone just scatter and then it just starts to keep shooting and shooting and shooting.
Meredith is a student at Dawson College. This is her mom.
Meredith called me from the room. She was very frightened. She says, Mommy, I'm very, very close. Mommy, I can hear those gunshots. And she didn't know what else to say. She says, what am I going to do? And I said, it'll be okay.
Meredith is okay, but 20 people were wounded, 5 critically, before the gunman was shot dead by police. He hasn't been identified. There's an unconfirmed report that one of the wounded students has died. In Dalton, Illinois, police surrounded a bank that was robbed this morning. It looked like a standoff with the robber, but after 3 hours, they ventured inside and found 2 employees hiding in a downstairs bathroom, but the robber was long gone, apparently escaped before they arrived. From Capitol Hill, CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports Republican Senators John McCain, John Warner, and Lindsey Graham will propose an alternative to President Bush's plan for the trials of suspected terrorists.
The key points they differ on are whether hearsay evidence can be used at military tribunals. The McCain-Warner-Graham contingency say hearsay shouldn't be used. The White House does not want the detainees to get access to classified information that would be used against them, and yet these key senators say that should be allowed.
General Motors and Ford have already said they plan to put electronic stability control in all their vehicles. Tomorrow, CBS News correspondent Trish Regan reports the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration will propose that the system be made universal by 2010.
A recent study found if every car in the U.S. had this system, more than 10,000 lives would be saved each year. The risk of rollover accidents in passenger cars would decline 77%, and in SUVs, the risk would drop by 80%.
Supporters of the so-called living wage ordinance today failed to muster enough votes on the Chicago City Council to override Mayor Daley's veto. The measure would have required big retailers to boost their workers' pay. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
I wanted it.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to sh- Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Help preserve open space in our region by attending the Sacramento Valley Conservancy's annual Treasures of the Valley event on Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center, 6000 J Street. This fun evening spotlights local artists and includes a live and silent auction. You'll also be treated to great food, wine and beer, and jazz featuring Shake Don't Stir. Treasures of the Valley supports the Sacramento Valley Conservancy, the award-winning nonprofit land trust that is committed to preserving the beauty, character, and diversity of the Sacramento Valley landscape. That's Treasures of the Valley, Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center. For more information, go to SacramentoValleyConservancy.org or call 916-731-8798.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
You can talk to Enid at 349-1320.
Eight minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Our shows are archived at whiteroadsociety.org, so if you've missed an interview or a show, you can access it there. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com, and all calls to Enid Live are toll-free, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And I wanted to share with you, tomorrow we are going to be joined by Nora Ephron. Her book is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. On Monday, Edward Jones will be joining us. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer, also a winner of the National Book Award. His new book, All Aunt Hager's Children. But we are joined today, right now, by Wayne Slater, who is with us, and James Moore, who will he be with us? He will, I think, momentarily. We'll find out. They have written a book called The Architect, Karl Rove, and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. So let's start with Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Enid Live. I'm so glad that you could join us today.
It's great to be with you.
Let me just, to let people know, Wayne is a senior political writer and an award-winning reporter for the Dallas Morning News. James, who is his co-author and who I think I talked to on the Bush's Brain book, was formerly an Emmy award-winning TV news correspondent. So both of you have worked together previously. Your book is making a lot of news. So talk to me about what, you have covered Karl Rove for 20 years. What new information have you unearthed?
Well, I think the big picture here is that all of us knew that Karl's sort of driving ambition over the last 10 years, and we watched it close up here in Texas, was to elect and reelect George Bush governor of Texas and then elect and reelect George Bush in the United States. And so here we have a situation where Karl has made it finally to the White House. The big picture, though, is that Karl's mission has been always bigger than this. He wanted not simply to elect George Bush, but to put in place an apparatus, a political machine, if you will, sort of that over-the-top subtitle that we have in our book, to establish a Republican majority in White House and on Capitol Hill, not simply for 4 or 8 years, but for a generation. And so the book talks about a whole number of new things, I hope a lot of detail, about this process of building what he hopes will be the Republican juggernaut for a generation or two.
James Moore, thank you for joining us as well. Co-author of The Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. I think you and I spoke when I was in Denver on Bush's brain. So how has Karl Rove's manipulation of Bush's brain changed in the last several years?
I'm not sure that it's changed. I think it's just gotten more refined, and he's gotten better at what he does. The president's gotten better at staying on message and more focused and narrowing the things that are in the public discourse and using the whole issue of fear to motivate voters to do the things that the Republican Party wants them to do. I mean, they're like anybody within a particular profession. The more they do it, the better they get at it, and they've had some time to really polish their skills.
One of the things I'm noticing is that the Republicans, sort of in a stealth way, have been trying to restrict voting in the upcoming election. What role did Karl Rove play in this, Wayne?
Well, I think he's actively involved in every aspect of the campaign, including that. See, Karl's strategy is not about consensus politics. It has always been, and certainly increasingly in the last 4 to 8 years, been about limiting who votes, restricting who votes, defining the electorate in two camps, my team, your team. It's a 50% plus one game. He doesn't really want a lot of people to vote. He wants to motivate his side to vote with one more vote than the other side. He basically exploits the idea of polarization. It's a game that has been very, very successful, certainly in electing and reelecting George Bush, and in 2002, helping Republicans in Congress. But it's not good for the democracy.
Let me add to what Wayne's saying, in that there are a lot of ways to suppress voters. You can complicate the electoral process and require them to bring their identification, their birth certificates. We're seeing these kinds of things being tried in Arizona and a number of other states now. You can send out surrogate voter registration organizations and have them sign up people, and when they go back and sort out the documents, they toss out the ones that have a D on them and register the ones that have an R on them. In Ohio, we saw thousands of people in the last election showing up who thought they were registered, only to discover they were not. So if he can suppress the people who traditionally support Democrats and increase the people who support Republicans and continue to pull the levers that do that, they'll continue to be successful.
Well, a couple of things come to mind. In the Los Angeles Times, I think it was yesterday, the Navajo Nation is concerned. They typically vote Democratic, and they are very widely dispersed over a large area, very remote area. People don't have the means to come in and get the kind of IDs and so forth that Arizona's talking about requiring, and so it looks like we're seeing active examples of what you're talking about. And what about RFK Jr.'s piece in Rolling Stone where he thought that the 2004 election was stolen? Any comments on that?
Well, Wayne and I spent a lot of time in Ohio looking at things that happened up there, and one of the things people have to understand is that the county boards of election up there have Republicans and Democrats on them. So if there were a conspiracy, the Democrats had to be involved in it. And they did have a Republican Secretary of State, however, who was running around and promoting the Issue 1 anti-gay marriage amendment and suggesting that voters needed support to support that, when you would suspect that you would want your Secretary of State to be nonpartisan an issue like that. The larger issue, in my estimation, of what happened in Ohio was incompetence, that they planned for much less of a turnout, and they didn't have the right number of machines or the quality of machines, because they were about to get money in this election for the Help America Vote Act to improve the technology, and they simply didn't want to spend that money that close to the election, wanted to wait for the next election.
Is that really incompetence? Is it the same kind of incompetence, or do you want to call it a passive complicity that we saw with Katrina?
I think it's exactly what the passive complicity. Look, these people aren't stupid.
They knew that there was going to...
Where the votes are and where your people are. And Jim and I saw in Ohio an awful lot of voting machines in the suburbs and the exurbs, and real problems downtown, and where you had long lines. Who was voting? Republicans. who were denied the opportunity to vote.
Exactly. I would to call it incompetence is so benign. I think it was deliberate. Sounds to me very deliberate.
Well, I don't think it was benign, but I think that there were efforts to suppress the vote, and some of them were very successful, but they weren't all successful, and some of the turnouts far exceeded the historical turnouts, and that caused problems for some of the electorate. I talked yesterday, in fact, with a gentleman at Oberlin College in Ohio who arrived at the polls at 7 a.m. and ended up standing in line for 3.5 hours on election day to vote, and those kinds of stories were repeated over and over in Ohio, so we never get a sense of how many people just gave up and walked away on a rainy day and weren't willing to spend a half a day to vote.
And let me tell you, the key to Ohio, as in many of these other states, was the turnout itself, and you mentioned it. The turnout was key, and Rove and the Republicans had an enormous campaign in Ohio to generate and motivate Christian conservatives, those motivated by the gay marriage amendment on the ballot, to turn out. And they were very, very successful at getting that group, the social conservatives, Christian conservatives, very conservative Republicans, to show up on the issue of gay marriage. And, of course, these guys voted for George Bush. This was by design. It really was it was quite a turnout effort. Democrats did pretty well as well, but not as well as Karl Rove and the Republican machine.
Well, it was reported, I think, in the New York Times Sunday Magazine that the Republican machine had started well in advance of the Democrats to put an organization in place in Ohio. And then you had groups, then you had the head of Diebold saying, you know, a Bush pioneer saying he'd do whatever it took. And then you had groups like blackboxvoting.org who recently took two 54-year-old women with $12 worth of tools that you can buy in the hardware store in 4 extra minutes. And they were able to go into some of these voting machines and crack open the memory seals, alter tallies, and put everything back together again. You wouldn't know if you didn't know that any tampering had occurred.
I think the study that concerned me the most was the one done by the University of Maryland's computer science labs that showed that within a matter of minutes that they could hack into any modem connected.
That's right,
anywhere in the country,
and never leave any fingerprints.
That's correct.
Never leave a trace. And so you had Diebold, and you of course you have that whole history. The Bushes have a history in Ohio. They came from Ohio. So you have a lot of things in play, and I was really surprised that the Democrats conceded as quickly as they did without demanding investigations. You have the impression that it rankles Kerry to this day. But one of the startling pieces of information that you uncover in your book, The Architect, Karl Rove, and the Master Plan for Absolute Power, is that Karl Rove's stepfather is gay or was gay?
He was gay when he was alive, and Carl, you know, does not call him his stepfather. He calls him his father. He's his adopted father. He's the only father Carl had ever known. And he came home on Christmas Eve when he was supposed to come back and talk about planning to move the family to Los Angeles for his new job. And he told his wife that he was gay and he was going to live as a gay man, even though he'd fathered 3 children with her. And they were not going to move to Los Angeles. And when Wayne and I talked to Carl about this, he sort of danced around the edges of some family mystery, and we finally found out the further we dug that his father had decided to come out of the closet. He retired to Palm Springs. He was active among a group of retired gay men there, and he and Carl, interestingly, had a very healthy, loving relationship of father and son. And it's interesting that Carl thinks it's possible for him to do that, but not for other gay couples and lesbian couples to healthy relationships.
Well, that's the Dick Cheney story, too. I mean, how is it that these people who have either gay children or gay parents are happy to use the whole turn gays into piñatas for political gain? Wayne, how would you respond?
I mean, that, I think, is a central insight about how Karl Rove thinks and operates. He's able to distance himself, divide himself, on the one hand, about his personal relationships and personal opinions and what was, in this case, the benefits of having a father who a good father-son relationship. And yet, at the same time, as we write, when his father died in the summer of 2004, Carl was the executor of the state, handled the affairs, The ashes of the father were distributed as the father wanted after a short and small memorial service, and then Carl got on an airplane and began to go to the very 11 key states where gay marriage was on the ballot to motivate Christian conservatives against gay people in order to reelect George Bush.
You know what I think that is? I think that's a definition of a sociopath. That's somebody who has no morals. It's the equivalent of what people say in ordinary life when they say when they suspend any kind of morality and they say, well, that's business. It's business. And he's saying, well, it's politics. It has nothing. How old was he when his father came out of the closet?
He was 19 years old, a senior in high school. And you see this not only with respect to the gay rights issue. He'll use any issue. Religion is another one. He has been more successful than any other political operative. He, working with Ralph Reed and others, in cultivating, motivating Christian conservatives for Republicans and for George Bush. Yet Carl himself is an agnostic. He told a friend at high school that he grew up in an a-religious household. And more recently, he told friends in Texas that he would like to be other than agnostic, but he couldn't be. So here's a person who does not believe in God or is an agnostic on the issue of God, and at the same time is very successful in motivating, cultivating, and using Christian conservatives for their ends. My sense is, I think Jim and I's sense is, Carl really is not concerned with whether or not the values, the religious values of these religious people are part or made part of our public policy. He is interested in using them as voter delivery machines to elect and reelect candidates.
I think that sounds exactly right. My guests are Wayne Slater and James Moore, co-authors of The Architect, Karl Rove, and The Master Plan for Absolute Power. More as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our traffic is looking all right. Southbound 99, a little slow. I-5 right there going southbound by Elk Grove Boulevard. There's a three-car crash. Now we have northbound Cap City Freeway just past Auburn. There's a three-car crash there as well. Roseville, I-80, and Madison Avenue just past. We have a three-car crash there as well. Now you need to log into 1320leftchannel.com and check out all the stuff that we have going on. You could win a pair of tickets to the Auburn Fall Home Show going on Friday, September 29th through Sunday, October 1st. There'll be over 1,000 exhibits. It's going to be just excellent. Hours are Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is on our website, once again, 1320leftchannel.com. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left. It's 89 at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel invites you to the People Before Politics Picnic and Rally, hosted by Rob Haswell, Democratic candidate for the 4th Assembly District, on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6 p.m. at Camp Lotus in Coloma. Bring the family and friends to this free event featuring live music by Mother Jones and the Jim Dyer Band. The Haswell campaign bus makes its last whistle stop of the campaign on the American River at Camp Lotus for an old-fashioned picnic with free barbecue and fresh fries. Farm foods growing in our very own Sierra foothills, and there will be games and other activities for the kids. Rob Haswell will be joined by special guests, including State Senator-to-be Daryl Steinberg and former Congressman Pete McCloskey. Don't miss an afternoon on the American River at Camp Lotus in Coloma on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6, and enjoy a great afternoon of politics, food, and live music. For more information, go to robhaswellforassembly.com or call 530-889-2278. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and Freedom from War invite you to take part in a week of education and entertainment. The first annual Week of Peace is Sunday, October 1st through Saturday, October 7th. The week includes daily events, including a Peace Awards dinner, the screening of the extraordinary film Beyond Treason, a panel discussion on peace featuring congressional candidates, a jazz mixer, and more. The Week of Peace is a unique opportunity to explore with others the realization of a world of nonviolence, peace, and social justice. For more information, log on to freedomfromwar.org or go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com. Find out how you can purchase a passport to all of the events with your $50 donation going to your favorite peace organization. So join AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and Freedom From War and stand up for peace by taking part in Peace Week, October 1st through October 7th.
It's Radio in the Left Zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. My guests are Wayne Slater, who is the senior political writer and award-winning reporter for the Dallas Morning News, and James Moore, they are co-authors, and James is an Emmy Award-winning TV news correspondent. They have both covered both George Bush and Karl Rove. Their new book, The Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. Wayne, talk to me about Karl Rove's involvement in Valerie Plame and how he might have... we had Michael Isikoff on Monday along with David Korn, and they briefly touched on Karl Rove's involvement in the whole Valerie Plame incident, Joseph Wilson incident, and how close he came to being hauled off to the pokey. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. He came very, very, very close. It seemed like almost a legal miracle that...
He had to put Robert Luskin in his will.
Exactly.
I mean, that guy who is a Democrat kept Karl Rove from the pokey.
He absolutely did. And, you know, the thing to remember is, although the initial leaker may have been Richard Armitage, if you really, and some people on the right have said, well, this is justification for saying, you know, we shouldn't be beating up on Karl Rove. He really obviously wasn't the initial leaker. He and Scooter Libby were actively involved in the White House in talking to reporters about Valerie Plame, giving her name or her position and the fact that she was with the CIA. The fact that Armitage got the information was revealed in a memo that Libby himself out of the vice president's office basically generated, trying to look into this matter. And the other thing about Karl and Scooter Libby, remember, Karl Rove lied to basically the American people. He lied to Scott McClellan at the White House. Scott went out in public and said he talked to Karl Rove, and Karl had nothing to do, had no involvement in the Valerie Plame affair. Absolutely untrue. In whatever way he or Luskin were able to convince the prosecutor not to indict him, but he may not have broken the law as we know it, but he certainly did not tell the truth and was actively involved in what he's always been involved in, that's the politics of the smear against opponents.
James, in today's Novak column, he says about Richard Armitage that he has been highly disingenuous, that he did in fact know that Valerie Plame worked exactly which division she worked for in the CIA. Any comment?
Well, Armitage is just one of many people that were a part of the scheme to spread the information about Valerie Plame. The fact that he sort of let it out, and it wasn't an accident, it was by design. It was a plan that Rove cooked up that was being executed by people within the State Department.
But Armitage was not a partisan, it's been reported. In other words, he was somebody who was more skeptical of the Bush.
And doesn't that make him even more perfect for helping them out? I mean, he had the necessary connections. I realize they say he's a nonpartisan, but his history is not strictly nonpartisan.
Okay.
He fits the perfect role to deliver the information so that the information has more credibility, and Karl knows precisely the way that Robert Novak works. Novak would then pick up the phone and call either Karl himself, or he would end up calling someone else in the administration, like Scooter Libby at the vice president's office, and they would act as unnamed senior administration officials to confirm the information that had just been disseminated, and it makes it look innocent, makes it look outside of the White House. They're very effective at pulling it off.
both of you have covered Karl Rove and George Bush through the years. What should we know about them that we don't already know? What are the surprising, what has surprised you most about them? Wayne, you start first.
Well, I mean, one of the things about George Bush is, I know there's an instinct out there that he is a Christian conservative, that he is the most openly religious evangelical president that we've had in memory, and that's true. And yet there is a kind of fighting aspect on the inside. He relies on Carl, always has.
Has anyone ever really seen the president talk while Karl Rove was drinking a glass of water?
Well, the thing about the president is, I remember when he was governor at one point, running for president, he was talking about these Christian conservatives who Carl has rounded up to be key parts of his political success, and at one point he actually called them wackos. That's what the president actually calls these Christian conservatives who are part, the most loyal part of his base.
You know what this is? These are snake oil salesmen. These are televangelists who have reconstituted themselves to have a more diplomatic visage. But they don't believe it. They just want us to believe it.
Another thing we have in the book is an episode that really reinforces the George Bush gunslinger motif that a lot of people I know are familiar with. We saw it with a wanted dead or alive right after the 9/11 attack with respect to Osama bin Laden. When he was first elected president, he had a meeting with the new prime minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon. Sharon came in complaining about Yasser Arafat. Bush cut him off and said, well, why don't you just kill him then? I'm sorry, this has never been written before. We have this in the book, The Architect. Sharon was stunned. He was the prime minister of Israel with this new man, very obviously very different than Bill Clinton, his approach inside the Oval Office. So Sharon was wondering, have I got permission now from the White House to assassinate, you know, our enemy, the Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat? And he started to say something. Bush cut him off again and said in typical cowboy fashion, nope, if he needs killing, I'll do it.
Oh.
That's George Bush.
Is it true that his staff used to make a lot of time for him, James, when he was governor? I call him Dickie, George W. Dickie Bush. That way I can say there are two Dicks running the White House, him and Cheney. When he was the governor of Texas, was it true that there was a lot of free time so that he could play video games?
I don't know.
Wasn't it video games that he was using the free time for?
I don't know if he was playing video games. I have no clue. I do know that that he would take off in the middle of the day for long runs and exercise, because I went with him on some of those. But I don't know what was going on back in the office. I know there were lots of baseball memorabilia back there, and he smoked cigars, and he held court with his true believers. And and he focused on a couple of simple, essential things that he got achieved, and then he distorted those to run for the White House.
Well, you know what's interesting? If you remember back to the controversy surrounding John F. Kennedy Jr. Around his campaign, he was the first Catholic, and everybody was elected president, and everybody was very concerned that he might be taking his marching orders from the Pope. He was very unreligious in office, but here is somebody, sort of a stealth candidate, who is the most, at least in modern times, the most overtly religious person, if in fact he is, or is he? Is he really as religious as he postures, or is this just a branding that he's doing in order to...
I think his faith is real, but I also think he's sort of utilizing his faith to political end. In fact, one of the scariest things about this administration to me is that the president has an almost messianic sense about what he's doing, as though he is guided by God. And in fact, if you recall the first meeting with Abu Mazen and the PLO, he suggested that in the minutes that were published in the Moscow Times that God had told him to invade Iraq, and God had then told him to come over and try to achieve peace in the Middle East, and then God was telling him if it didn't happen fast, he needed to get back and concentrate on the upcoming election. So this is a man whose religion has perhaps gone too far. God talks to him, but maybe not
yes.
to the rest of us.
Yes, through his molars, apparently. Well, I have to get this in here. The tabloids, which are, as Michael Kinsley once noted, are 80% correct and 20% not, and you have to figure out which is the 80 and which is the 20, are reporting that he's drinking again, that George Bush is drinking again, and that he and his wife are having marital problems, and that there are rumors of an affair with Condoleezza Rice. Does any of this, do you have any information on any of this? Because it's so juicy.
Wayne?
Great stuff. Oh,
it's James? Great stuff. I don't think it's true.
You don't think? Do you think he's drinking again, James?
I don't. I'm not privy to those things. I think the president's behavior has been dubious since he took office, so I wouldn't know if a drinking habit had ensued, frankly.
You couldn't tell the difference. How can we tell the difference?
Tell the difference.
That's right. Karl Rove, who is he married to, and how come we never see anything about her? And does he? I think he has one child, because I think they were going around to colleges, but we've never seen pictures of the child. We've never seen pictures of the wife. And there's something about Karl Rove that's girly. There's a girly aspect to his face. I don't know what to say beyond that. But Wayne, who was he married to?
Well, he's married to Darby Rove. It's his second marriage. The first marriage that he had ended a very short marriage. Darby is, they have one son, Madison. By all indications, Carl is a very good father to Darby, to his son, and a good husband to Darby.
So no scandals in that department.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, he's really, in many ways, it's funny because the aspect about Carl that we see again and again is not only win at all costs, but his whole life is about winning. It isn't what you do when you win. It's just the process of just defeating and destroying an opponent. His wife, Darby, once said that when Carl and Andrew Madison played chess, that it sometime became almost violent. Not physically violent, but it was absolutely, Carl wanted to absolutely destroy his son at chess. Same thing with croquet. He's a guy who's amazingly competitive, even if it's his own kid.
Well, we'd like to turn Carl into a chicken croquet ourselves. Can you hang with us for a little while longer?
Sure.
Oh, that's wonderful, because, as you know, some of Carl's people here are aiding Arnold Schwarzenegger in his reelection campaign. So maybe we can talk about that, and there's lots more to talk about. My guests, if you are just joining us, James Moore and Wayne Slater, who have written a book called The Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We do have lows tonight right around 69. Our humidity over here, like I mentioned earlier, I feel like I'm back in Philadelphia. It's the humidity is about 68%, and lows tonight going to be reaching right around the same at 92, 93 tomorrow. Now we have a defective signal light in South Sac, Stockton Boulevard at Lemon Hill. That is blocking traffic and stopping there. Westbound 50 just east of Cambridge, the traffic hazard is in the middle of the roadway and stopping traffic on into Sacramento. Southbound Cap City Freeway, just south of Watts, the same. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
Hey there, homeowners.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel invites you to the 5th Annual Voters Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 p.m. to 5:30. This free event presented by the Asian Pacific Islander American Public Affairs Association is your opportunity to hear candidates running for office, including a debate between California Lieutenant Governor hopefuls John Garamendi and Tom McClintock. Also expect a lively debate on the downtown sports arena issue between supporters including Daryl Steinberg and foes like Assembly member Dave Jones.
You can also win one of two $1,000 cash raffle prizes for taking a day off from work to vote.
Be an informed voter. Join 1,000 other interested citizens at this year's Voter Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. More information is at APAPA.org. That address again is APAPA.org.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 4:43 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We are talking with James Moore and Wayne Slater, both of whom have covered Karl Rove and George W. Bush extensively. Their new book, The Architect, Karl Rove, and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. When we last left each other, gentlemen, we were talking about some of Rove's people who are helping Arnold Schwarzenegger in his reelection bid for governor here in California. Any comments, and do you know who is involved? I think Steve Schmidt might be one of the people involved. Wayne, you want to begin?
Absolutely. Steve Schmidt is involved, top aide to Vice President Dick Cheney, knows the program, knows the game, the Republican game that of divide and conquer, use wedge issues, and in this current case, use fear and intimidation against Democratic enemies. That's Schmidt. The other guy is Matthew Dowd, chief strategist for George Bush, a Rove protege, who is really a brilliant and interesting guy in his own right. It was Matthew Dowd who, at Carl's behest, after the 2000 election, put together the most sophisticated computer model with layers and layers of information to micro-target voters. It was Dowd's work that allowed the White House in 2004 to identify voters, and they realized something, that among other things, that women, especially suburban Republican women, liked the television show Will and Grace. At the same time, Rove was advising George Bush to go public and advocate his support for a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. So the campaign actively worked on behalf of a gay marriage ban against homosexual rights. At the same time, the downside of the campaign was putting television commercials around the show Will and Grace, which celebrates a gay lifestyle. It shows you, you know, somebody might think that's just an awful thing. I think it's a brilliantly Machiavellian process, but it shows how good they are.
James Moore, the whole family, you know, everything that they're about that they say are values, they're really just branding points. They're just marketing points. It's just all about spin. They don't seem to be about any of the things they say they're about. James, how would you respond to that?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. Everything is about political utility. The president has no particular axe to grind with gay people, neither does Carl. They could fundamentally care less what people do behind closed doors, which is essentially the way a true conservative should believe. But in fact, they realize the value of animating the Christian fundamentalist base. So they're going to do what political utility is about. Carl is not a very religious man, but he's going to use religion to gain political edges. So, I mean, you're precisely right. It's all about message. It's all about simplifying the message, using misdirection and framing things and keeping the Democrats one or two steps behind because they're not very good at framing and delivering their own messages.
Something really odd recently happened at the White House, and it had to do with the previous tenant of Carl's new office. Wayne, tell us about it.
Absolutely. It was after the president was elected president, and Carl was moving into his West Wing office, and he invited a Catholic priest, a couple of other Catholic leaders, to his office to conduct a liturgical ceremony, an actually blessing and cleansing of the office, not as a joke, but an actual ceremony, religious ceremony in his office. And it was during this time that he, in effect, even though the process, the service itself was very real, he also kidded around with his Catholic friends, the conservative Catholic friends, that the previous occupant had been Hillary Clinton, and that they were, in effect, sort of purging the spirit of Hillary from this office.
This is very odd. So he's in effect conducting an exorcism, but if he's an agnostic, an admitted agnostic, why would he call the clergy in to, you know, to feng shui the place, to clean out the old cooties? What was that? What do you make of that, James?
Oh, I think he is. He's also a suspicious fella, and he also knows that, remember, the person who did this deal, Hudson, is one of the most influential Catholic leaders in the country, and Carl knew that the story would make the rounds within the church, and it would sort of further cement his image as, you know, as a man of deep faith and who believed that religion can do these unnamed and spiritual things. It's everything.
Well, it's also...
Understand that everything is calculated.
Well, and it's also a sly put-down of Hillary. That the vibes are so bad, you have to get a celestial Airwick in there to clean them out. My guests are James Moore and Wayne Slater. The book is The Architect, Karl Rove, and the Master Plan for Absolute Power. What was their role in swift boating, Wayne?
Oh, very actively involved in swift boating, but Rove was actively involved in ways that he so often is involved in political campaigns. He doesn't leave fingerprints, but you see the impact of a pattern of activity. And what we were able to see with the swift boat veterans after it was over, despite the White House denials of any involvement, was that the people who funded the swift boat effort basically were three Texas billionaires, one Boone Pickens and a couple of other folks, who were key longtime affiliates of Karl Rove, people he had begun to recruit in the late 1980s, early 1990s, to rebuild the Republican Party in Texas and to launch George Bush's political career. More than that, the key figures, two or three of the key figures who were involved in the swift boat veteran effort, have subsequently gone to other groups which now support George Bush on the issue of appointing judges to the Supreme Court and other political issues. So you see this revolving door of the same people who are Carl's people involving themselves again and again on behalf of the administration. This swift boat veteran effort, which was cynical in the sense that you could aim at someone, a candidate, and defeat a war hero by raising questions about his war record, was something, the kind of approach that Carl uses again and again.
Well, it's audacious. And who would have thought, and Kerry apparently didn't take it seriously, who would have thought that anybody could, especially coming from the Chicken Hawk camp, could impugn a decorated war hero, and they managed to do it.
Well, the brilliance of Carl is his approach is really different than so many other Republican or Democratic operatives in our recent history. Most people go after the weakness of an opponent. Carl has always gone, whether it was Ann Richards as governor, whether it was John McCain as a challenger in 2000 to George Bush in the Republican primary, or John Kerry in 2002.
Well, with John McCain, though, there were those push polls, those really hideous push polls, suggesting that John McCain had had an affair with a black prostitute and had a child from that affair. In fact, the McCain family had adopted a dark-skinned child from a Mother Teresa-like orphanage, a third-world country orphanage. So where did he go after John McCain's strength in that case?
Well, John McCain's strength was a matter of compassion. This is a guy this is a guy who's against abortion, and he does exactly what real Republicans say they were conservatives say they ought to do. They invite the idea of adopting people. The other thing that Rove's group did in the 2000 campaign was challenge McCain's mental capacity. If you remember, there was a fake sort of military group before the South Carolina primary that raised questions about whether or not John McCain had the mental ability to be president after living as a POW all those years. Here is McCain's strength, a war hero,
right.
POW, and the Rove camp went right after him.
Where is he vulnerable, James Moore? We don't have a lot of time left, but where is Karl Rove vulnerable? Is he vulnerable? The Washington Post reporting last week that his power isn't as great as it was, but I think it's very great with the president still.
I think he's vulnerable in that he's a schoolyard bully that nobody has really stood up to yet, and it's time for people of principle to stand up and say, this is nonsense. Here's what our country believes in. Here's the issue I'm going to run on, and I'm going to stand for what's right and wrong, and I'm not going to go after political utility. If our country and our electorate responds to those kinds of things, Karl Rove will go away. But as long as we continue to disenfranchise ourselves and not take our citizenship seriously and be informed and involved as voters, there will be Karl Roves in the world.
When they accuse you, and tell me what the right strategy is, when they accuse you, as they did of McCain, of being mentally incompetent, even though he was a war hero, or of John Kerry of faking his injuries, or, how do you defend yourself if you're a Democrat?
John Kerry made a major mistake of not responding to the Swift voters. He said, the American public knows this is nonsense, and I'm not even going to address it.
Yeah,
you have to address it.
You have to address it, but how do you defend yourself when they start spreading lies about you without being defensive? How do you do it? How do you come out swinging on these kinds of issues?
Well, you have to do the same thing they're doing. Have surrogate groups who step out for you and say, this is nonsense, and here's the proof of why this is nonsense. And then you have to have the candidate go out and talk about what actually happened and be positive about it.
What would we be surprised to know about Karl Rove, besides all the other things you've unearthed about his interior life? If he's a bully, that means to me that he's really an insecure man.
I think one of the things that might surprise people, and Jim and I see it as we deal with Republicans and Democrats in the political world, is how many Republicans absolutely hate Karl Rove. He has damaged them along the way, damaged their livelihood or their candidates in some way because of the ruthless way he plays politics. And so one of the things Jim said earlier is right. In the event that he looks like he has an Achilles heel, the moment he begins to fall, the base begins to crumble.
Everybody's going to pile on.
It is going to happen. It hadn't happened yet, but that's going to happen.
There's a word we use in California about as frequently as the word salsa, although you would know about that in Austin, Texas as well, and that word is karma. What can we, looking into the tea leaves, here's a man who's wrecked so many lives. I mean, how do you see it playing out politically? The Democrats, the poor Democrats, are still so feckless, who require injections of Viagra into what laughingly refers to itself as their spine. I mean, what's going to happen in the next election if you're looking at the tea leaves?
I think it's going to be a very close election, but if the Democrats cannot win in the current political environment with a bad war, an unpopular president, a rising national debt, and all of these particular issues, if the Democrats cannot win in that kind of environment, they need to rethink the mere existence of their political party. And it's going to be close regardless, because we've got Republicans are going to be spending more than the Democrats on key congressional and Senate races, and we've got the Republicans who are determined to go out and turn this into a referendum on the war on terror and make the Democrats look like cowards.
But don't you think that with such low approval ratings for that war and for the presidency, that's not necessarily a winning strategy? Or
The Democrats don't have messages. They don't. They have not come up with a unified message for the American public to grasp onto. And it may be something as simple. If you think things are going well in Iraq, vote Republican. If you want to try something else, vote Democrat. But right now, they're not communicating anything.
So when we're looking at, for example, you have covered for so long, you've covered the president. What would we be surprised to know about the president that we don't know? Wayne Slater, even though the book is really about Karl Rove, but the two of them, their fates are so intertwined.
I think, and this is not really what you're asking, but I think one thing that would surprise people is that he is really an active participant, much more active than some liberals and some Democrats have let on in the involvement in the White House. The key, those people who underestimate Bush's ability to make some decisions really do so at their own peril. At the same time, he is indeed guided by Karl Rove, because Karl is the L word, loyalty. That's the most important thing for George Bush.
Wayne Slater and James Moore, thank you so much for joining us today. They have written The Architect, Karl Rove, and The Master Plan for Absolute Power. It's a wonderful book, and I have really enjoyed talking with both of you as well.
Great to be with you.
Great to have you with us. Thank you so much, both of you. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather. We're going to do that? No, we'll do that later. Okay.
I'm Scott Warrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk, Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Plus reports there's a new effort to replace Donald Rumsfeld.
Pennsylvania Democrat John Murtha, an outspoken foe of the Iraq war but a longtime supporter of the Pentagon, says it's time for Defense Secretary Rumsfeld to resign. He charges the mismanagement of the war in Iraq has not only been a disaster there, but has left the rest of the Army woefully unprepared.
It's unconscionable because the future security and deterrent power of the United States is dangerously at risk.
Murtha points to equipment sitting in Army depots waiting for repair, troops at the lowest level of readiness, and units sent home from Iraq being sent back too quickly. Bafa, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
While political leaders debate global warming, a CBS News New York Times poll finds most Americans have made up their minds.
Nearly 8 in 10 Americans think that global warming presents a serious threat to the future of the U.S. economy and to the U.S. quality of life. Nearly half, 49%, call it a serious threat, and another 30% say it's somewhat serious. Only 17% say it's not too or not at all serious.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says Republicans are less likely than Democrats and Independents to say global warming is serious. By all accounts, it was a volatile but passionate relationship. Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown lasted 14 tumultuous years. Today, Houston's publicist confirmed that she's filed for divorce. They have one child, a 13-year-old girl. The Dow 45 points higher today, the Nasdaq up 11. This is CBS News.
Dear Mr. Orrick, I love you and I love my 8-pound Oric vacuum cleaner, writes Rosemary Van Engel. I have 2 cats that shed. The only way I could get the hair up was with sticky tape. Then I ordered the Oric XL. I love my Oric XL like no other appliance in my home. It's worth every penny and more. Pet lovers, try my Oric XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Honey, what color should we paint the bedroom?
Nah, sweetie, I don't care.
Okay, then pink it is.
Pink? Now I care.
It's the fall color sale going on now at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Stop in and save 20% on a wide variety of high-quality Sherwin-Williams paints and stains. Plus, get free shipping on custom order wallpaper, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Has it been one of those days when you say, I need a vacation? Well, if you're like most Americans, you're probably right. CBS News correspondent John Harchi has the story.
Surveys indicate many Americans are spending more hours on the job, taking less time off. Joe Robinson, a work-life balance coach in Santa Monica, says vacations are healthy.
Studies show that just a simple annual vacation can cut the risk of heart attack in men by 32% and in women by 50%.
According to Robinson, Americans take less time off than people in other countries, partly because some of those other countries legislate vacation minimums, and here...
downsizing has left more work for people.
Bottom line, time off recharges workers to do better jobs. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Valerie Plame has added former State Department official Richard Armitage to the list of Bush administration officials she's suing over the leak that ended her CIA career. Armitage recently acknowledged that he inadvertently outed Plame in casual conversations with 2 journalists. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hurry into sleep train today.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five oh five. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Remember what your homework assignment is. It's to tell 3 to 5 people every day that Enid Live is here, that AM 1320 is here, that they can start their day with Scott and Sims on the Morning Retort and move into all the wonderful programming that we offer here on AM 1320, because I think a lot of people have given up completely on the AM dial and they don't know that they can find us. And in a very short period of time, you'll be hearing more about us. We'll be doing some advertising, which we have not done. We are gaining traction every day, and we're doing it by word of mouth, so you can help us in that. If you're just joining us, you have missed a fascinating interview with James Moore and Wayne Slater, both of whom have covered the President and Karl Rove for decades. The new book, The Architect, Karl Rove and the Master Plan for Absolute Power, in which it's revealed that Karl Rove's father was gay when he was alive, that Karl Rove is an agnostic, that they did an exorcism with Hillary, that Karl Rove wants to win at any cost, and it doesn't matter what he really believes in, if in fact he believes in anything at all. The whole idea is to get people to believe in the things that he does or to vote the way he wants them to, and to restrict the voting of other people. And that's what they're actively engaged in doing in various states, restricting the voting of people who typically vote Democratic. They are also engaged in funding groups like the Swift Boat People. And so they have been actively been involved in all kinds of nefarious activities, and the Democrats still don't have it together. With all the ingredients that the Democrats have been given to bake the cake, they still don't have it together. And maybe the Angelides campaign is a salient example, even though we're supporting Angelides, which apparently is more than he's doing. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I want to remind you that tomorrow we are going to be joined by Nora Ephron, whose book is now number one on the New York Times bestseller list. The title is I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman, a collection of her witty essays. She is also been a screenwriter, wrote the screenplay for When Harry Met Sally, Sleepless in Seattle. I think she directed Silkwood. Monday, Edward Jones will be joining us. He's the winner of both the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. All of our guests this week and next so far in the 4 o'clock hour. Well, breaking news, discussions between the city and county of Sacramento and the Kings owners, that would be the Maloofs, over the terms of building a new arena in the downtown Sacramento rail yard, have stalled. The pro-arena forces were left today with the very real possibility that they may be campaigning for a new sales tax to build an arena in the rail yard without the Maloofs, owners of the local NBA franchise, on board. We still consider them part of our team, but it is our arena, and we will decide where it goes. And the public has said loud and clear that the best place for the arena is the rail yard, said Assistant City Manager John Dangberg, who has represented the city in talks with the team. You know, this whole thing was so thrown together, so badly, the deal is so rich for the Maloofs, and they still can't get it together. This whole thing deserves to fail. County and city staff members had committed to producing a memo of understanding with detailed deal terms by October the 6th, but even if that document never materializes, the B is reporting, the ballot measure to raise the sales tax by a quarter cent is going to go forward. It's going to be on the November ballot. And remember, they're not telling you what that quarter cent is for, because if they told you that it was specifically for something like the arena, then they need to have a two-thirds majority in order for it to pass. So you would be potentially in the position of voting yourselves, or we would be in the position of voting ourselves, a quarter cent increase with no oversight as to what happens to that quarter cent increase. And they can't even do the deal with the Maloofs. They've given the Maloofs everything. They've given up the whole store. And they still can't do a deal with these people. I mean, I really just think this is the most amazingly incompetent one of the most amazingly incompetent situations I have heard of in quite a while. County and city, this is all going to go forward. And as well, the companion advisory measure asking voters if they want to spend about half the $1.2 billion in new taxes on an arena and the other half on community projects. And don't forget, they've already spent a lot of money trying to get this thing together. They've spent a lot of money on PR efforts. They've got a lot of people out there spinning at very high consulting fees. So where are they going to get the money for that, especially if this doesn't fly? And you've got these county workers who can't get any kind of insurance relief that they deserve to have, and the garbage stinking and piling up that hasn't been picked up yet. 349-1320-866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. The disputes with the Maloofs have centered on parking, the amount of land that will be set aside for the arena, and uses immediately surrounding it, said those involved in negotiations. Joe Maloof said today that he supports the idea of putting a new arena in the rail yard, but he won't go along with it if it means it will put, quote, the franchise in jeopardy. I don't know what that means exactly, and why that has to do with the rail yard location. So the campaign, a city official has said that the campaign to build a new arena at the rail yard site is going to move forward with or without the Maloofs on board. There has been a disagreement with the Maloofs over the amount of land to be set aside for the arena and how the land immediately surrounding the arena will be used. What are your thoughts about that? So it could be that the Maloofs, everybody said, oh, well, the Kings. What if the Kings go? Oh, what the Kings go? What are we going to do? What will we do if the Kings go? 349-1320-866-626-1320. What do you make of this? This newest twist in this ridiculous plot. And I got this email from David yesterday, and he said these are some points. He says, while it's customary for municipalities to grant incentives to attract business, the only place in society where a business has the temerity to ask the municipality to pay for a facility or workplace is sports. For whatever reason, our normal solid business sense goes out the window when we are presented with a deal to get or keep a sports team. If HealthNet or Intel or some other large employer would approach the city or county of Sac and offer to locate operations in the city, if the city were to build a corporation, a building, or campus, the response would be laughter. Number two, while it's true that arenas and sports teams do attract money and commerce to an economy, this situation is different. We already have an arena, and it already has an NBA team, a WNBA team, and many, many concerts and other events happening in it. So the, quote, dollars injected into the local economy argument is not valid unless you can quantify what the net increase in inflows to our economy might be from the new arena. If Sacramento had no arena and was looking to build one now, the amount of money injected into the economy would be much more impressive than any estimates of what the increases might be from a new arena. My guess, David emails me, is that these numbers are not very impressive and that the return on investment for this arena is very unfavorable. Well, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I know that whenever it's touted that this is going to be great for the city, that those increases never show up the way everybody had hoped that they would. While it's true that people will earn and spend money in and around an arena, it's not necessarily true that these monies will be spent inside the boundaries of Sacramento. Actually, what it might do is keep monies from being spent. If you're coming into the city, now you're going to have dinner in the city if you do that. It may keep monies from being spent in the surrounding areas when people are coming into the city for an event, for something going on at the arena, so that you can make that argument. 349-1320, what do you make of this latest twist? Isn't this amazing that the Maloofs, talks have stalled between the Maloofs and the city and county on the whole issue of the arena, and yet they're still going to go forward with it. Don and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Don.
Hi, I'm Secretary of the County Democratic Central Committee, and the Executive Board recommended a no on the arena. And last night at our Central Committee meeting, the whole group voted no on the arena.
Oh, good. But what do you make of this latest plot twist where the Maloofs, they can't come to an agreement with the Maloofs? They may not be on board on this deal.
Not at all surprising, since they let it out of the bag a week or so ago, that there was no guarantee it was going to be in the rail yard. One of the Maloofs, I don't know.
Yes, I remember that at the press conference,
right.
but it sounded like the location was more malleable and that they might work it out with the city and county, but apparently that's not the case.
Right.
They want the... Well, Don, thank you very much for letting us know what the Dems are up to.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Another Don, this one in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Yeah, hi. You know, the reason is because the rail yard, the stadium or the arena is getting too close to downtown. People need to eat before the game, so if they don't want to eat at the Alco Arena or the whatever arena inside costs too much for eating, they're going to eat at downtown. So what it is that they're going to lose revenue in that location.
Wait. I'm not following your thinking, John.
Well, basically, is that if the arena is built on a rail yard,
right?
That is closer to downtown.
So people would eat downtown.
People would eat downtown before they go to the game.
Oh, in other words, they won't eat at the arena.
Exactly. If the arena were built on maybe by Arco over there, you know, the whole surrounding area have no place to eat except inside.
But do you think this was what turned the Maloofs off?
Well, I don't know, but the thing is that it certainly turned, you know, reduced the revenue inside the arena.
Well, they were talking, let me see, it says, the B version of the story says that the dispute with the Maloofs have centered, you mean you wouldn't be able to buy that $25 hot dog and that $50 can of beer? Wait a minute, disputes with the Maloofs have centered on parking, the amount of land that will be set aside for the arena, and the uses immediately surrounding it. So maybe that's what you mean, the restaurant.
You're honing right in the parking. Nobody got to park in the arena. If they could park it downtown.
Okay. So what will it do? Will it clog up downtown? And then will you be able to walk to the arena from downtown?
Yeah, well, because in the rail yard, you could just walk to it.
Okay.
And so that's a losing revenue for him.
Okay. Oh, well, John, thank you very much for pointing that out. I appreciate it.
All right.
349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Ken in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Well, here's the thing. Nothing is ever going to get built on that site. That site is a Superfund site. It's so heavily contaminated with benzene, which is a neurotoxin, that back in the 80s, Sacramento was told by the federal government that unless you remove the first 16 feet of topsoil off of it, even after that, you still wouldn't be able to use the site for 50 years. As soon as the EPA comes out and takes a look at that, there will not be a single thing built on.
Wait a minute. So you could go to a game, you could spend $25 for a hot dog, $50 for a can of beer, and at no extra charge, walk away with more than a life's dose of neurotoxins?
Neurotoxins. Benzene. Benzene is used to clean muck off of engines, off of great big locomotives. It's all over the place. In fact, the Sacramento Bee, really deep down in their archives, did a bunch of stories on these in the mid-80s. And the Sacramento Bee needs to come clean and reprint those stories. Nothing will ever be built on that site. If we're going to have a new arena, it's right next to Arco.
Whoa, Ken, thank you very much for that juicy piece of information. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The big news, the arena talks are stalling between the Maloofs and the city and county. Leaders are going to go forward with the ballot measure with or without the Kings. So for those of you who are using the argument, well, the Kings might go, I say, adios. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have a little slow traffic going on there. Madison Avenue, I-80 east, or excuse me, westbound. It looks like we have a three-car crash there. Traffic is going very slow. I-5 just past J Street. There is a three-car collision there. And northbound Cap City Freeway by Cal Expo, they have a two-car crash. Also, a pedestrian, I guess he's on the right-hand side at I-80 just east of Norwood Avenue. What are the pedestrians doing on I-80 is what I want to know. Log in at 1320leftchannel.com. You can email Enid. Lisa West here for traffic and weather from the left. It's 89 degrees at Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is for Lee Newman.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320.
20, Sacramento's left channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boz Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
It's her opinion, and you're entitled to it. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We've been talking about this surprise development, well, maybe not such a big surprise, but sort of a surprise anyway, that the arena talks have broken down between the Maloofs and the city and county, but they're going to go, the city and county is still going to go forward. They're still going to go forward with the ballot measure with or without the Kings. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-620-61320. The whole thing is so ill-considered, especially in the face of a big strike like what we are enduring right now. The matter of public policy, that there's all this money to fund a private venture but not to deal with the infrastructure of the city, is just a set of really amazingly and ridiculously misplaced values. And San Francisco, God bless San Francisco, is proposing something that's really interesting. And I say this in the wake of the fact that in San Joaquin Valley, deputies have discovered about 2,000 marijuana plants. Every day, they're taking all this much off the streets. They're taking this much cocaine off the streets. They're taking this much millions of dollars of marijuana plants off the street. And there's always more. So, you know. But anyway, sheriff's deputies were busy Wednesday ripping out about 2,000 marijuana plants found in French Camp. Investigators said the discovery is the biggest marijuana bust this year in San Joaquin County. The plants, which deputies said appear to be worth $4,000 to $6,000 each, isn't that, you think that's kind of an inflated amount, were about 2 weeks from harvest. Trucks were being loaded with cut plants to be taken away for disposal. You think it's really going to be disposed? You think there's going to be a little brisk backdoor trade? Well, I bring up all of this because San Francisco is proposing, Tom Amiano, who is a supervisor in San Francisco, famously tolerant San Francisco, could become even friendlier place for pot smokers if the Board of Supervisors passes legislation that proclaims most marijuana violations, quote, the lowest law enforcement priority for city police. Supervisor Tom Amiano introduced the legislation last month before supervisors took a four-week late summer break. His non-binding ordinance directs police to essentially ignore all marijuana crimes except those involving minors, driving under the influence of the drug, or the sale of marijuana in a public place. So the proposal is to make it a very low a priority in San Francisco. And you know what? I think they're smart to do it. Let me share with you a story a long time ago. Well, maybe not so long ago. I interviewed Joe McNamara, who has been at the Hoover Institution. I don't know if he's still there. And he was a police chief in San Jose. He started out as a beat cop. And eventually worked his way up. I think he wound up at Harvard somewhere along the line. I think he got a doctorate at Harvard. I think he did. and is pretty highly regarded. And he said a couple of things. One, he was a beat cop, and they had little drug busts. They ignored it. You know, they just flushed it down the sewer, flushed it away. It's not worth the time. And he was suggesting that. We have so misplaced our focus on this sort of thing. I don't, you know, states are voting in medical marijuana, and the feds, who you think would have quite a bit on their plates dealing with issues of terrorism, they're ripping up the medical marijuana gardens. So I don't get this, but here's what San Francisco is proposing, that pot crimes get less police attention, that they'd be relegated to the lowest priority. What do you think about that? Would that work here? Maybe it would not work here. And I was thinking why it might not work here and why it would work better in San Francisco. San Francisco, I don't think, has the same kind of crime activity that we have in Sacramento. I don't think they have the homicide rate that we do, but maybe I'm not right about that. If you're in law enforcement, I would certainly like to hear from you, and even if you're not, 349-1320. 866-626-1320. So if you're in a highly college-educated place, which San Francisco is only second to Seattle in the number of college-educated adults over the age of 25, so you're in a you're in a smart place where we don't have the same activity, gang activity, homicide, whatever, that we have here in Sacramento. So, in that case, people are, not a problem unless they're driving under the influence, and then they should be busted. You shouldn't be driving under the influence of anything except for reality, which is a word that should never be used without quotation marks around it. If you're a minor, you know, those kinds of things. But if you're an adult and it's recreational or it's medical and you don't have vast amounts, you're not a dealer, leave it alone. Is what I say. It's the cost to benefit ratio for using police to monitor this activity is not a very practical. It's not a beneficial cost to benefit ratio to the society. But San Francisco may be a more benign place in terms of crime than Sacramento is. In which case, maybe marijuana activity in Sacramento fuels major crimes in a way, I think it's more methamphetamine that fuels the crime here in Sacramento. We know we're the number 7, I think, in terms of stolen cars, number 1, hit and run capital of the universe in Sacramento. We are, I think we're big on the methamphetamine, we're probably a methamphetamine subcapital of the universe. So what are your thoughts? 349-1320. If you were running the police department, would you say in Sacramento that pot crimes should get less police attention and should be relegated to the lowest law enforcement priority? Would that work in Sacramento? Is it true that most of the crime is caused, you know, it's like your customers, 80% of your business is done by 20% by 20% of your customers. Is 80% of the crime in Sacramento generated by 20% of the miscreants here? And maybe if we focused more on the more serious issues and let 2,000 pot plants grow happily into the sun, smile in the sunlight, maybe that would be a better use of our resources. What do you think? Well, but, you know, what do we know about resources? We want to put all these resources into helping rich people get richer in the arena. And then these rich people, these ingrates, they didn't get enough. We gave them everything and it still wasn't enough. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay, they came, they left. They came, they saw, they left. Katie Couric on Monday night dropped to third place in the CBS Evening News. her ratings were spiking big time, really high, because people wanted to sample her, and then they went back down so that CBS was back to number 3. However, we here at CBS affiliated stations got an advisory from CBS News in which last night, Tuesday night, the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric finished in first place again. So it's a fairly fluid kind of a situation where sometimes she's in first place and sometimes she's in last place. And I don't know how many viewers separate her from first and last place. Let's see if they give you let's see. Last week, CBS Evening News with Katie Couric averaged 10.2 million viewers. NBC's Nightly News had 7.1 million. And ABC's World News had 6.9 million. The last time that CBS News won a week was in June of 2001, so it's been 5 years since they were number, since they were number one. So let's see. And but however, Monday night, Katie Kirk led the CBS to its, but then her honeymoon might be short. She slipped to third place on Monday. Her first evening news broadcast on September 5 brought in nearly 13.6 million curious listeners. The numbers went down through the rest of the week, but she stayed in first place each day, according to Nielsen. On 9/11, 8.3 million listened to the nightly or watched the nightly news. 7.9 watched ABC World News, and Kirk's broadcast had 7.5 million. So she started out with 13.6, and she lost nearly half of them, to 7.5 million. So she lost quite a good number of her viewers, but then she was back up on Tuesday night. And let me see, what did she have on Tuesday night? I don't know if they gave 8.6 million. So they went up, but not as high as the 13 million that she debuted with. Do you want to make an observation about that? It's kind of like politics, isn't it? It's not really news. It's kind of a news-like substance. Meanwhile, Meredith Vieira, the ratings for the Today Show, I think, actually went up after Katie Couric left, to much to everybody's surprise. And Meredith Vieira is, I guess, on board. I haven't seen it yet, but maybe you have. And if you have, I wonder how you... I think she's fine. I think she probably is doing a lovely job. And some of the reviewers hate the show that she was on previously, The View. My mother used to like that show a lot. She used to like watching The View. But I guess some of the reviewers can't stand it. And so if you've seen Meredith Vieira on the Today Show, how do you think she's doing? Do you think it's going to make much difference in terms of the ratings? So here are the Schadenfreude artists, and these are people who love the fact that someone who's high up is sort of tumbled. And so USA Today reporting, Katie Couric slides back to number three, but that was Monday. Tuesday night, she was back up on top again. So I imagine it'll come and it'll go. The final installment of this is Washington Post asking this question. You know, the mockumentary, the hacky-drama about 9/11, does it matter, the Washington Post is asking, that ABC invented and distorted history in its, quote, warning, this is not a documentary, docudrama, the path to 9/11. After all, the first night of the faux drama was trounced by Sunday Night Football. But consider, the gripping final report of the 9/11 Commission became a surprise bestseller at 1.5 million copies. The not-so-gripping, not-so-accurate ABC production, which was $40 million to put on, was seen by about 13 million viewers on the first night. So, you know, ABC watered down this information. They distorted this information. No Democrats could see the show before it aired, but Rush Limbaugh got a copy of it. Bush is portrayed without any factual basis as responding aggressively to the famous Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S. presidential daily briefing, which, of course, is absolutely the opposite. He absolutely ignored it and went back to his summer vacation in Crawford, Texas. So the value of the truth of in an environment where the only thing that matters is winning. So if winning is measured in a political campaign by the number of votes you get, or if it's measured in the network news by the number of households using television, households tuning into a particular broadcast, the means apparently justify the ends. So people will do anything they can to get you to watch or to get you to vote. And whether it has any correspondence whatever with the truth seems to be pretty much immaterial. That's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is it's immaterial and we don't seem to care. It's one thing for them to distort the truth, to sell you whatever they can possibly sell you. A candidate, a newscast, a product. But it's another thing when you don't even call them on it, when we don't even bestir ourselves to say, you know what, you're lying to us. This isn't really a newscast. This is a candidate composed entirely of smoke and mirrors. This product is inadequate. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So there was that cliche that said we got the politicians we deserved. Maybe we're getting the society we deserve as well. And maybe the price, what we're getting is because we are screaming about our rights, but we aren't willing to step up to the plate to exercise our responsibilities. And it seems to me that one of our responsibilities, the basic responsibility, the most basic of all, is to vote. But one of our responsibilities is to be vigilant about exactly this kind of thing. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. In a traffic in Sacramento. The hit and run capital, pretty much of the United States, I think, actually, though, living back east side, maybe not so much. Today, though, absolutely. We have four or five of the northbound Cap City Freeway just north of E Street. Also, John from over there in Elk Grove called me about just coming off of I-5 going down to Laguna. We do have a second signal light. The traffic stop there is just absolutely backed up, and that is also a hit and run. I believe that they hit the pole. That's the problem with that. So thank you so much, John, for giving me a call, and you guys can always give us your traffic input at, of course, 349-1320. Lisa West here for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope.
Sunday, a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net.
We need your support.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, up to little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Right to choose the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about things that appear to be one thing and they're really about something else, and I just have to share this with you in that same vein. In other words, politicians who say all the pretty words, news people who pretend to be doing the news, and all of it is just fake. In the case of a lot of television, what they want are ratings. In the case of politicians, what they want are your votes. In the case of products where they promise you everything, and I especially think that the whole universe ought to be described the same way that women's beauty products are described in the copy. You know, resilience, age-firming, age-defying. I mean, they have these adjectives that they string together, and if any of these things worked, we'd all look 10 years younger, but what they're trying to get out of you is your money. That said, that we are not outraged by it, that we don't even see how dishonest it is. At the same time, we pay lip service. We're paying more lip service to honesty and family values as we see less and less of it around. Really, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And here, President Bush, Dickie, is going to host, and this is not a joke, he's going to host White House talks on with the head of the Kazakhstan government, because Ali G, who is a comedian by the name of Sacha Baron Cohen, he is the creator of Ali G, he is infuriated. This is a true story. The Kazakhstan government, with his portrayal of Borat, a bumbling Kazakh TV presenter. And now, a movie of Borat's adventures in the U.S. has caused a diplomatic incident. The opening scene shows Borat lustily kissing his sister goodbye and setting off for America in a car pulled by a horse. It had audiences in stitches when it was first shown last week, and it just premiered at the Toronto Film Festival, and it has prompted A swift reaction from the Kazakhstan government, which is launching a PR blitz in the States, and the president of Kazakhstan is flying to Washington to meet with Dickey, who also ought to be is also like the equivalent of a car pulled by a horse. And these on the agenda is how they're going to try and fix the country's image, because they're furious at Borat, who is actually Ali G, who is actually Sacha Baron Cohen. And when he did the Ali G show, where, you know, he's like this thuggish, I don't know, homie kind of a guy, kind of dope, a guy with a lot of gold chains on and not too many brains. And he's actually, you know, I mean, this is just his persona. People like, high-level officials from this country came on thinking that that's who he really was, not really understanding that I think he either went to Cambridge or Oxford and was having them on, as they say in England, and a good laugh was had by all at some of these puffed-up officials' expense. 349-1320. And I don't know if it was Dick Cheney or McNamara or both who were guests on the Ali G show. Pat, in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Pat.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you. You were mentioning about legalization or the decriminalization of marijuana.
Well, I was saying that in San Francisco, what the Board of Supervisors is proposing is that that pot smoke, recreational smoking, has the lowest law enforcement priority.
You know, I'm a cop for over 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and I myself have never used a drug in my life. And in having seen the gamut and the politics involved, I'd legalize everything. Why are we trying to enforce other people's morality or their choices?
Oh, I am so with you. But tell me, all right, so having been a cop, are you still a cop?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what have you seen? Share with us what you've seen.
We go around and we chase the street guys, okay, who are the lowest echelon of drug users. The big drug users are up in their million-dollar homes. They're at the high-class bars in all of California. There's never been a hit on the upper echelon bars. They've never gone after that group. And that group.
Do they know who these people are? And can
everybody knows. Yeah, sure. It's not hard. I mean, there's a certain percentage of society is going to use and abuse drugs. And it's the same for millionaire kids as it is for ghetto kids. Okay? But if you got more money, you can afford more. So, you know, if you really wanted to go after the drug trade, you'd go after rich guys. You'd squeeze them. First of all, rich white kids are much easier to squeeze than kids that have been experienced the system.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly would get more farther for your investment. But they don't go after them. It's a protected segment of society. But my point is, why are we running around chasing, spending all this money, incarcerating this many people for somebody's personal choice? If somebody wants to use whatever drugs they want to use, why is it my job or my taxpayer money to stop them or to prevent them? I mean, we should educate people. Here's what it is. Here's what you can expect. But it's up to the family. Believe it or not, the only thing that stops any drug abuse is family ethics and what the family will accept. And that's the real control.
Let me throw this into the conversation as well. Sacramento is apparently becoming the homicide capital of the universe. And like every city, we have limited resources. So you want to deploy your people going after making pot busts, or you want to deploy them going after...
Actually, believe it or not, in Sacramento, nobody is making a furtive effort for pot busts or whatnot. When they come across, and they actually stand up in South County, when they get information, here's a farm, then they have to go ahead and do what enforcement action they're going to do.
But there's a lot of money that goes. They just busted in San Joaquin County. They got about 2,000 plants. So that was a whole effort that went into that, and it probably cost a lot of money to do it. Now, I don't know if that's a local or if it's a federal effort, but
not to argue, but marijuana has been the biggest cash crop in California for the last 30 years. Okay? That is, 2,000 plants is minuscule to the amount that's being produced in California. My point is, we shouldn't spend any time enforcing on any drugs. And I know everybody's going to say, oh my God, the most addictive drug out there today, and always has been, is alcohol. Okay? It is the only drug that you can die from withdrawal. You don't die from withdrawal to heroin. You don't die from withdrawal from cocaine, but you will die from withdrawal from alcohol. So the more we're actually, the nicotine is more addictive in the first stages than any drug that we've got. It only takes you.
So who wants this? Who wants this enforcement of busting pot smokers? Is it politicians who are posturing when they want to get elected?
Any time they get anything of what they consider a quantity, they like to make a press conference to say, "Look, so they can say they're doing something." Okay,
we're going to have to leave it there, Pat. But I think I know where you stand, and I'm delighted that you called us today. Thank you for doing it.
Yep.
349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. Ooh, listen to this: a court may reinstate a conspiracy charge against Tom DeLay. Oh, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. You know what? I've had a few calls on the traffic. You guys, thank you so much for calling us. Sometimes we see what is on our screen, but we're not sure what's going on. Now, Laguna I-5, we do have the second signal light at that traffic stop there, and the traffic is very much backed up, and thanks to John from Elk Grove. Also, Stephen is in that Cap City Freeway by Cal Expo mess, and I guess everyone is just completely stopped in the accident. It's just about four or five cars instead of the three that I mentioned. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. Help preserve open space in our region by attending the Sacramento Valley Conservancy's annual Treasures of the Valley event on Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center, 6000 J Street. This fun evening spotlights local artists and includes a live and silent auction. You'll also be treated to great food, wine and beer, and jazz featuring Shake Don't Stir. Treasures of the Valley supports the Sacramento Valley Conservancy, the award-winning nonprofit land trust that is committed to preserving the beauty, character, and diversity of the Sacramento Valley landscape. That's Treasures of the Valley, Thursday, October 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento State Alumni Center. For more information, go to SacramentoValleyConservancy.org or call 916-731-8798.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
349-1320.
It's 54 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Schwartzy and Phil have agreed to an October 7th debate in Sacramento. It's on, said the said Stan Statham of the California Broadcasters Association. It's going to take place at 6 p.m. on a Saturday night. Oh, like everybody's on a Saturday night. Who thought this one up? And it's going to be held at Sac State. Under the format called for by the broadcasters and under the auspices of the California Broadcasters Association, under the format called for by the association, the candidates will be seated at a table. Conan will have his spear, no, and answer questions posed to them by Stan Statham, who is the president and CEO of the California Broadcasters Association. The Angelitas camp initially balked at the format after Schwartzy's forces agreed to it last Friday. In a press release issued today by the Phil campaign, his campaign manager said that the Democratic challenger prefers a format featuring candidates standing at podiums answering questions from reporters. Let me ask you a question. Why aren't they standing at podiums? Or is the plural podia? I don't know. Phil's campaign manager, Kathy Calfo, derided the format in a statement released today, characterizing it as a joint appearance rather than a true debate. But the campaign ultimately agreed to the association's chosen format. So whether you're standing or whether you're sitting, tell me what difference that makes. And why would the Phil campaign, I mean, is one of, well, because Arnold's shorter and he's going to have to wear taller elevator shoes than Phil? I don't know. What do you think? Do you seem more like an action candidate if you're standing rather than if you're sitting? Why would the Schwartzy campaign want to be sitting rather than standing? Are they having like a little intimate chat? I don't get some of the nuance here, but those of you who are political operatives, I want to hear from you. Julie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Yeah, hi, Enid. The reason why they're sitting down rather than standing at a podium is because Schwarzenegger is short and Angelides is tall.
Angelides doesn't strike me as that much taller than Schwarzenegger. I've seen them both. Is there that big a difference?
I believe there. Schwarzenegger is what, 5'9" if he's an inch.
If he's an inch. He's lucky if he has an inch. 5'9"? Maybe 5'9", 5'10", I would say,
yeah,
along those lines.
He's shorter than average, I know that. And Angelides is taller than average.
Is Angelides 6 feet, maybe? It's not a lot. You know, 2 inches is not...
Look at this. You've got short and bulky, tall and slender. There's appearance. There's an optical illusion. Angelides is going to look taller.
Yeah, but see, Schwartzy wears lifts in his shoes. He's got shoes. He's got shoes. If you encounter his elevator shoes, you want to know. You ask what floor you're on.
We'll just put Phil in the same elevator shoes.
All right. Well, so now they're going to sit, and I wonder if Schwartzy's going to have a cushion, or is he going to be sitting on a phone book?
Bill Whitney. A senior State Department official warned Congress today that the clock is ticking in Iraq.
If sectarian violence cannot be demonstrably, tangibly reduced over the next several months, an Iraqi government that represents all of its people is a partner against terror, and is at peace both at home and with its neighbors will be difficult, if not impossible, to achieve.
Failure, said David Satterfield, would mean that Iraq would become a permanent haven for terrorists, a satellite of Iran, or both. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin is following developments.
I think what is new is not so much the difficulties as a growing recognition on part of U.S. officials that time is running out in which to deal with these difficulties.
In a way, U.S. has found itself in a position where it cannot stay and it cannot leave.
U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, who recently toured the Mideast, says many leaders consider the U.S. invasion of Iraq a real disaster for the region, but they're divided on whether American forces should pull out immediately or wait until the situation improves. Iran's president hints he might be ready for compromise with the West. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad told reporters in Senegal that the dispute over his country's nuclear program can be resolved through negotiations, and he's open to new conditions. An unidentified gunman opened fire today at Dawson College in downtown Montreal. Before he was killed by police, 20 people had been shot.
I see a guy a few yards away from me, lying on his back, not moving, and blood gushing out of his head.
I was shaking. I was terrified because that's kind of stuff you see on TV.
I was on the second floor going up towards the third floor, and I heard gunshots, so they evacuated everyone out of the building.
Two neighboring shopping centers and a daycare facility were also evacuated until authorities had things under control. One of the victims, a young woman, later died. No word on a possible motive for the attack. In the Bahamas, a coroner's inquest is set for October 23rd in the mysterious death of Daniel Smith, the 20-year-old son of Anna Nicole Smith. Authorities now say they believe they know what killed Smith, but they're waiting for the toxicology report. He died Sunday while visiting his mother and her newborn baby girl in the hospital. Authorities say there was a third person in the room at the time. Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer, Michael Scott, says that was another of her attorneys, Howard K. Stern. Scott says his client is so distraught that she had to be sedated and now has no memory of what happened. If it falls back to Earth, it will truly be a bolt from the blue. Spacewalking astronauts lost another bolt today as they struggled to install a new addition to the International Space Station.
Okay, on cover 8, a bolt is missing. Bolt 1 Alpha. I did not see it go.
Overall, the more than 7-hour project went well. NASA hopes to finish the job with a third spacewalk on Friday. The Dow gained 45 more points today, and the NASDAQ was up 11. This is CBS News.
If you're taking a trip and wanted to go an extra 33,000 miles, would you be better off with a Michelin man driving or with a cabbie?
Where are you going?
Across the country, 11 times.
That'd be about $62,000.
Is that with the air conditioning on or without?
Without.
Well, the Michelin man can beat that hands down. Michelin HydroEdge tires outlast the leading competitor by up to 33,000 miles, so you get more tire for your money. To find a Michelin dealer nearest you, visit MichelinMan.com. Michelin, a better way forward.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Despite efforts to improve diet and exercise, American kids keep getting fatter. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the latest.
Updating warnings about childhood obesity, an Institute of Medicine panel says that one-third of America's kids are either obese or in danger of becoming that way. Obesity rates are higher than they were 2 years ago. The root cause of this national problem hasn't changed, though.
We're not doing enough exercise and we're eating the wrong foods.
Panel member Dr. Douglas Camero says national leadership is needed to expand successful local programs.
Setting up safer walks to school, better parks, bikeways and things like that. Changing the way school food is prepared.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Believing it could save more than 10,000 lives a year, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration will propose tomorrow that every new vehicle be equipped with electronic stability control by 2010. General Motors and Ford have already announced plans to make the system standard in their cars and trucks. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Imagine how...
Are you...
AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel invites you to the People Before Politics Picnic and Rally, hosted by Rob Haswell, Democratic candidate for the 4th Assembly District, on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6 p.m. at Camp Lotus in Coloma. Bring the family and friends to this free event featuring live music by Mother Jones and the Jim Dyer Band. The Haswell campaign bus makes its last whistle stop of the campaign on the American River at Camp Lotus for an old-fashioned picnic with free barbecue and fresh farm foods grown in our very own Sierra foothills. And there will be games and other activities for the kids. Rob Haswell will be joined by special guests, including State Senator-to-be Daryl Steinberg and former Congressman Pete McCloskey. Don't miss an afternoon on the American River at Camp Lotus in Coloma on Sunday, September 24th from 1 to 6, and enjoy a great afternoon of politics, food, and live music. For more information, go to robhaswellforassembly.com or call 530-889-2278. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and Freedom from War invite you to take part in a week of education and entertainment. The first annual Week of Peace is Sunday, October 1st through Saturday, October 7th. The week includes daily events, including a Peace Awards dinner, the screening of the extraordinary film Beyond Treason, a panel discussion on peace featuring congressional candidates, a jazz mixer, and more. The Week of Peace is a unique opportunity to explore with others the realization of a world of nonviolence, peace, and social justice. For more information, log on to freedomfromwar.org or go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com. Find out how you can purchase a passport to all of the events with your $50 donation going to your favorite peace organization. So join AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and Freedom from War and stand up for peace by taking part in Peace Week, October 1st through October 7th.
Left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Seven minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 4 of the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. So 3 to 7, Monday through Friday on AM 1320. Your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 friends every day, or 3 to 5 people. They don't actually have to be friends. Or put a sign in your car as you're driving around that we are here, that there's something really worthwhile on AM 1320 to listen to, because I think a lot of people have given up on the AM dial, that you can start your day with Scott and Sims, 5:30 to 9, finish it with, or at least in your and your morning drive, and on your evening drive, come over to me 3 to 7 on AM 1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. My shows are archived on whiterosesociety.org. And you can call me 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. Tomorrow, if all goes well, Nora Ephron will be joining us. Her book is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, I Feel Bad About My Neck, and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman, a collection of very witty essays. She has written the screenplay for When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle, and she's a director of films, and she's a raconteur, and she's a poster on HuffingtonPost.com. So Nora Ephron with us tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, if all goes well. Edward Jones will be with us Monday in the 4 o'clock hour. He's won a Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award, and his new book is called All Aunt Hager's Children. So that's coming up on Monday. We're talking about the Schwarzenegger-Angelides debate, which is scheduled for October the 7th in Sacramento at Sac State. And the format, which the Angelides camp initially balked at, would have everybody sitting down. One of you called in and said the reason that Schwartzy wants this and Phil doesn't is that Schwartzy's shorter than Phil. The action hero is shorter. He'll be sitting on a telephone book. Well, in a new study, guess what? Taller people are smarter. While researchers have long shown that tall people earn more than their shorter counterparts, it's not only social discrimination that counts for this inequality. According to the study, tall people are just smarter than their height-challenged peers, according to what the researchers have determined. As early as age three, before schooling has had a chance to play a role, and throughout childhood, taller children perform significantly better on cognitive tests. The findings were based primarily on two British studies that followed children born in 1958 and 1970, respectively, through adulthood, and a U.S. study on height and occupational choice. Other studies have pointed to low self-esteem, better health that accompanies greater height, and social discrimination as culprits for lower pay for shorter people. But these researchers believe that the height advantage in the job world is more than just a creation of image. As adults, taller individuals are more likely to select into higher-paying occupations that require more advanced verbal and numerical skills and greater intelligence, for which they earn handsome returns. So taller people, I guess, are smarter, according to this study. What does that say about Phil? Well, he's not smart enough to run a smarter campaign. Arnold's got smarter people around him, or very experienced and ruthless people around him. And there's so much that's going on that's not being addressed in this campaign. Here's what the Republicans are up to. I have to... House Majority Leader John Boehner had a genial meeting with reporters yesterday, showing off his golf ball pattern tie and talking about a conversation he once had with Jack Nicklaus about that particular tie that had a golf ball pattern on it. But 15 minutes later, Boehner moved from the necktie to the jugular. He speculated the Democrats may be guilty of the capital crime of aiding and comforting the enemy. I listen to my Democratic friends and I wonder if they're more interested in protecting terrorists than in protecting the American people. Well, this is a pretty despicable statement from a despicable human being who's also been on the take. And my question is, if you are just joining us, our guests in the 4 o'clock hour, which is typically when we have our guests, Wayne Slater and James Moore, both of whom are seasoned reporters who have spent decades covering Karl Rove and George Bush. They're in Austin, Texas, these two. And they've written a book about Karl Rove. The last one was called Bush's Brain, and this one is called The Architect. And they've uncovered a lot of information about Karl Rove. And one of the things they say about Karl Rove is he's ruthless and he will win at any price. And so this is what you have John Boehner doing. They'll make these allegations. They will swift boat you. And Karl Rove's MO is to attack you where you are strongest. So he attacked John Kerry for his war record, and these were a group of chicken hawks attacking John Kerry. So preposterous an idea that Kerry didn't respond. He dismissed them as beneath contempt, and guess what? He lost. He underestimated them. So when they lash out like this, and here is Boehner moving from the golf pattern necktie to the jugular and speculating that and saying the Democrats might be guilty of the capital crime of aiding and comforting the enemy. He says, I listen to my Democrat friends instead of Democratic friends, and I wonder if they're more interested in protecting terrorists than in protecting the American people. So how do you come back to that? And how are the Democrats, who don't seem to have gotten it together yet? You know, the simple way to do it is if you're in favor of this war, vote for Republican, and if you're not, vote Democratic. And here is Helen Thomas. We love Helen Thomas. She says that President Bush has fallen back on a lame justification for the war in Iraq. The Bush administration is relying on a slender thread to justify its disastrous war in Iraq. Saddam Hussein is now in jail. The world is safer because Saddam Hussein is no longer in power, the president insists, because he was a clear threat, notes Thomas. But Bush's rationalization comes up lame, given the administration's reluctant and deferred acknowledgement that Saddam had nothing whatever to do with 9/11. Well, we knew that. We all knew that. How do you defend yourself against these allegations from Republicans that you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy when what you're doing is speaking the truth about this ridiculous war in Iraq that is a quagmire, that is worse than Vietnam, and that we've got to get out of? Ashwin in Sac, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid, I got to give my homework report.
Okay.
Okay, what I do about getting other people interested is, you know, Sacramento has a lot of stoplights, and I go through a lot of them. So when I'm stopped at a red light, I turn the radio up, roll my windows down, and then signal the guy next to me, hey, you want to listen to the radio, turn on 1320. And you know, people are curious, so you play on.
They don't think you're a molester or a miscreant. They actually listen to you when you turn down your window and you say, listen to 1320?
Well, yeah, I said, listen to the radio, 1320, listen to the radio, and they're like, oh, well, something must be going on, and they listen, and they get, and then by the time they realize that I'm a pervert or anything like that, I'm off to my next victim, I guess.
Oh, well, my gosh, that's pretty creative. How many people,
I am tall, so hey.
It means you're smarter. So how many people, Ashwin, do you think that you have contacted in this unique way?
I drive for the minimum of 5 a day. At least try it.
For 5? For your doing your homework assignment. Well, you know what? I'm going to put out the call to see if any of the people that you have approached in this way have actually wound up becoming listeners.
There you go. And also, you know what? Going for the juggler.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason we didn't catch, we haven't caught Osama bin Laden is because George Bush is telling Osama bin Laden where our troops are. But he's always escaping.
Well, thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you're just joining us, here's where we've been today. We've been a lot of places. We've been in the Phil Angelides, Arnold Schwarzenegger, secure, not secure website dispute, where the Angelides camp has been backed into a corner and has taken a defensive crouching posture, and they ought to come out swinging, and they ought to say that if Arnold were saying these things in a corporate environment, he could be brought up on sexual harassment charges, and if Bonnie Garcia, the Latina Republican legislator who didn't want to play ball with Arnie, she could really actually sue him if she were offended by this, and that this is not a good example for the chief executive of the state of California to be imposing on the state, and along those lines. But the campaign is curiously inert, I would say. Phil's campaign is curiously inert. He does not have the right people running this campaign. I mean, just from a media perspective, we're not getting blitzed like we should be. I'm not seeing a good response to Arnold. I'm not seeing boldness. So we've been talking about that, and my question began the program by asking the question, how would you spin it? We are also talking about Karl Rove. In our second hour, we had two really interesting reporters who've talked about Karl Rove, how his father is gay. Turns out how he exercised his office to remove all traces of the former occupant, who happened to be Hillary Clinton, the tactics that he uses, that he's actually agnostic. I mean, a lot of really good, juicy information about Karl Rove. We've also been talking about some late-breaking news, and that is that talks have broken down between the Maloofs and the city and county of Sacramento. But nonetheless, even if they don't resume, the ballot measures are going to go forward. The pro-arena forces were left today with a very real possibility that they may be campaigning for a new sales tax to build an arena in the rail yard without the Maloofs. And one of you called in to say that land in the rail yard is so contaminated that there's no way that you can decontaminate it until you remove, 16 feet of it and wait 50 years for the cooties to eat up all the bad stuff. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We talked about Katie Couric's being back in third place on Monday night and being in first place on Tuesday night. We are also talking about Helen Thomas and her criticism of the president and his lame justification for going to war. And we're talking about marijuana in San Francisco. Supervisor Tom Amiano wants to see pot crimes get the absolute lowest law enforcement priority. Would that work here in Sacramento? I'd like to see it decriminalized. I'd like to see all these drugs decriminalized. If you have a drug problem, it's a public health issue. And we would treat you accordingly. We would free up so much prison space from people who are not violent, but who are in prison because of mandatory minimums when it comes to drug sentencing. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And here you have John Boehner, who's saying about Democrats that if they criticize the war, that they may be guilty of the capital crime of aiding and comforting the enemy. How about the capital crime of stupidity? What nerve does he have to say these things? And why aren't Democrats taking off after him? I mean, this is just so irresponsible. They'll do anything. See, that's what's happened. At any price, winning at any price, at the price of any kind of common ground in or unity in this country, at the price of democracy as we have known it in this country. Victory at any price. Nobody cares about the common good anymore. 349-1320-866-620-61320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our temperatures are reaching highs 93, 94, even 95 in the last couple of days. Now, there is a spare the air day today and tomorrow. Our humidity is about 28% now, and we can still see from the smoke, though, it's clearing up a little bit rather than 5. We can see Mount Diablo, so it's looking pretty good. Our traffic over there, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. We got slow traffic there. Northbound Cap City Freeway just south of 8th Street. We have a vehicle in the middle of the roadway, so stopping traffic there. And Laguna Boulevard, just off of I-5, actually, when you take the Laguna Boulevard, about 2 stoplights down. It is off, it's blinking, and our traffic is really, really slow. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Right now.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel invites you to the 5th Annual Voters Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 p.m. to 5:30. This free event presented by the Asian Pacific Islander American Public Affairs Association is your opportunity to hear candidates running for office, including a debate between California Lieutenant Governor hopefuls John Garamendi and Tom McClintock. Also expect a lively debate on the downtown sports arena issue between supporters including Daryl Steinberg and foes like Assemblymember Dave Jones.
You can also win one of two $1,000 cash raffle prizes for taking a day off from work to vote.
Be an informed voter. Join 1,000 other interested citizens at this year's Voter Education and Candidates Forum 2006 at the Radisson on Saturday, October 7th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. More information is at APAPA.org. That address again is APAPA.org.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
I'm Scott Forrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk, Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Problems yet, but we're working on it. AM 1320.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's your right to listen to the left.
It's 6:25 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Tomorrow, Nora Ephron joins us at 4 o'clock. It'll be fun to talk with her. We're talking about all kinds of things, and I just want to share this with you. A Senate committee today approved a bill supported by the administration. It would have forced the administration. Democrats put some protections in here, which would have forced the administration to seek a warrant for any surveillance within 60 days. But last-minute changes pushed by senior Republicans will allow warrantless surveillance to largely continue without these kinds of controls. And, in fact, this did pass. The Senate committee today approved this bill, which was supported by the administration, that would enable the administration to continue its warrantless wiretapping program that the White House launched secretly after 9/11. The approval came after Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee blocked an amendment by Democrats that would have limited Bush's eavesdropping program and required the National Security Agency to report more often to Congress on its surveillance activities. Democrats say the bill approved by the committee would expand as well as legalize Bush's authority to monitor terrorism suspects. I think this is awful. This is just terrible. And there's an additional aspect to the story, too, and that is that it's being reported that one of the highest-level executives at Verizon Communications, one of the three major telecom firms originally alleged to be providing the NSA with customer phone records under contract and without a warrant, has strong, decades-long ties to the CIA, Congress, and to the Department of Justice. Additionally, the same official... this high-level executive, this same official, has acted in an advisory capacity to the government as a private citizen for over 10 years since leaving office, arguing that restrictions to federal domestic surveillance capabilities be loosened, especially in cases involving terrorism. So there has been a long relationship with the CIA and I think the first George Bush. So there you have it. We have let a handful of ridiculous hijackers who were a bunch of nobodies willing to kill themselves and to do it on a budget scare us to death. And whatever work they began, we are more than happy to finish it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And at the Interior Department, the Inspector General of the Department of the Interior is going to give a blunt assessment of the level of ethics there in testimony that's going to be presented, that was presented today. It simply stated, short of a crime, he says, anything goes at the highest level of the Department of the Interior. He was asked to investigate a controversy that's been brewing on Capitol Hill for months over what critics call a giant giveaway to the major oil companies. The giveaway, according to critics, stems from leases issued by the government to oil companies in the late 1990s that exempted them from paying royalties on deep water drilling, regardless of how much profit they ultimately reaped from that exploration. It's kind of like a deal for the Maloofs, huh? The issue has taken on heightened urgency in the wake of the recent discovery of huge new oil fields in the Gulf of Mexico. The federal government could lose more than $1 billion in royalty payments from this new source alone. Over the long term, these leases could be worth as much as $20 billion to the government. He blames these leases on, quote, bureaucratic bungling. But what he also says is that anything goes at the highest level of the Department of Interior. So you know what? If you're a big company, you can get whatever you want. If you're a little guy, they monitor your tax returns. But if you're a big guy And they want to disappear the estate taxes, and they're unable to do it. What they do instead is they disappear the auditors who audit you at the IRS on the estate taxes. So they couldn't get rid of the estate taxes for the richest of the richest of the richest, but they could get rid of the auditors who audit you. So, in effect, they've done very nearly the same thing. That's what you can expect from this administration. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And this is a story that is really a tragedy, and I don't know what you do about it. But here is a man who is, he killed 10 people. He's now 89 years old. Do you remember the story in Santa Monica, the farmer's market in Santa Monica? The one dead man was draped across the hood of his car while another victim lay under the front wheels. The whole incident focused everybody on the dangers that happened with aged drivers and on systems that fail to adequately screen elderly motorists for safety. The defense contends in this trial that the man in question, George Russell Weller, now almost 90, succumbed to pedal error, which happens when older drivers become disoriented, often by stress, and mistake the gas pedal for the brake. So he was trying to brake, he stepped on the gas, he killed 10 people and injured more than 60. And this was the Santa Monica Farmers Market. You know, I've been there, and lots of foot traffic, lots of pedestrians there, and he lost it. He quoted a police account a police account of the statement that Weller made immediately after the crash. "I'm in big trouble with my heart and soul, and that," he said, "you can't fix." Now, they're going to have a trial, and the question is, he's almost 90 years old. What do you do with him? Let's say he's guilty. He's guilty. And maybe you have to have this trial in order for the civil damages, the civil suits to go forward. But what is the punishment for a man who's almost 90? Is it a punishment to put him in prison where he's in the prison hospital and he gets the best geriatric care? And how much freedom do you have when you're 90 years old anyway? Most, I don't know, maybe he's in good physical shape. I really don't know. Certainly he would have been affected, if he has any heart and soul at all, he would have been affected emotionally by what he has done. I know somebody who died at the age of 86. This is a friend of mine's mother. She died at the age of about 86 or 7. And one day, her driver's license came in the mail. On the day that she would have been 90 years old, the driver's license was renewed by mail. She wasn't even around to renew it, nor was she around to drive. And the state sent her, not the state of California, a different state, sent her a driver's license that would have given her, I don't know, 2 or 4 more years. She could have still been driving until she was 94. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What do we do in a case like this? What is the appropriate punishment in a case like this? Do you want to put this man in the pokey? Because what you're doing is not only tying up precious, he's not a danger as long as he's not driving to anybody else, and presumably he's not driving. It costs a fortune to incarcerate people. You want that jail space for somebody who's genuinely dangerous to us or violent. And if someone of that age goes to the pokey, it's even more expensive because he goes to the pokey because he's going to need all this geriatric care. He goes into the prison hospital system. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So what do we do with this guy? I mean, what's the appropriate punishment for him? No more Viagra? He doesn't get, I mean, he's 89 years old. What do we do? What if they say he's guilty? You want to send this guy to jail? You tell me. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much, Enid. On this wonderful Wednesday, we do have a little bit of traffic going on southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road. Stopping traffic is a three-car crash. I-5 at Laguna is a three-car crash there as well. And when you drop off from I-5 to Laguna down two stoplights, we just have horrendous traffic there. A gentleman has called me from Elk Grove and let me know about that. 20% humidity, 93 for the temperatures tomorrow. We're at 91, and Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Exposing the right as wrong. It's Enid Live at 349-1320 on Sacramento's Left Channel.
Jackson Rancher.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Well, you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six 37 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and you can join the conversation, 349-1320, 866-620-61320. And we're talking, well, we're always talking about a million different things, but what we're also talking about is the situation. It was really a horrendous tragedy. This elderly driver mowed down, killed 10 people at the Santa Monica Farmers Market and injured 60 more. I mean, imagine the amount of damage you can do when you've got a lot of foot traffic like that. He's now almost 90. He's 89 years old. The CHP, which investigated this horrendous incident, thinks that it was due to pedal error. When older drivers get disoriented, they mistake the gas for the brake and the brake for the gas, I suppose, or at least that's the way it's being described. He's on trial now, and in part it's said that he's on trial because it paves the way for any kind of a civil situation, and I don't know if he's a man of means or he isn't, but he is sitting in a wheelchair. He's wearing a loosely knotted tie. He's looking up at the huge projection of his car after he had driven through the open market 3 years ago, killing 10 and injuring 60. One dead man was draped across the hood while another victim lay under the front wheels. He showed no emotion, this man, 89 years old now, as his trial opened in the horrendous Santa Monica Farmers Market crash. You know, I wonder if he'll live through the trial. And what do you do? What's the appropriate punishment here? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The trial before the Los Angeles County Superior Court Judge Michael Johnson continues and may take 6 weeks. Weller, who's 89, is not expected to testify, and he received permission to be absent from his trial in downtown Los Angeles on 10 counts of vehicular manslaughter. So he doesn't even have to go to his own trial. What do you do with the problem of older drivers? I mean, one technique is to call the DMV and ask them to make sure that the older driver who doesn't want to give up his or her keys is retested, and that usually puts the kibosh on it. But if anybody's had experience with this, we'd like to hear from you. The FDA has fined the Red Cross Blood System $4 million. I don't know about you, but ever since, and even before this, there were earthquakes in the Bay Area. There were things that happened, and the Red Cross, using those tragedies, those were always ways of generating monies, and the impression that you got was if you contributed, those monies would be used for that particular tragedy, and that is apparently not always the case with the Red Cross. They use those tragedies to generate donations, but the money very often goes into their coffers for other things. So you think you're donating to Hurricane Katrina victims, but, and you know what? The Red Cross fell down on Hurricane Katrina, and it's not the first time they have fallen down, and I, for one, am not inclined to give them anything. In addition, the Food and Drug Administration announced a $4.2 million fine against the American Red Cross because it had repeatedly failed to handle and collect blood supplies properly. The penalty is the culmination of a 20-year effort by federal regulators to force the Red Cross to improve its oversight of its giant blood business. It comes on top of a $5.7 million in fines the agency has imposed on it since 2003. The FDA said that the blood supply remained safe and that they had no evidence that contaminated or recalled blood sickened anyone. Instead, the problems indicated a decreased assurance of safety. Well, that's not good news. And I know that there were questions about it, particularly in the earlier days, when there was tainted blood and there weren't adequate screens for that blood. So here's the Red Cross, a $4 million fine added to $5.7 million in fines that the agency has had that the agency has imposed on the Red Cross since 2003. You feel like you want to give money to the Red Cross? You think you want to do that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And one study that they've done recently that I thought was really interesting is if you are feeling guilty and you are feeling guilty, I think, was one of the measures, feeling not good about yourself. You tend to, it's sort of like the Shakespearean out, out, damn spot. You tended to want to take more showers. They just did this study, and I've forgotten the language exactly. But if you feel guilty about yourself, if you feel like you're not being completely honest on different things, you tend to want to shower more. If you're not telling the truth about things, you tend to want to wash your hands more. I don't know how they were able to correlate this. But this just emerged this week. Well, I wanted to share this with you because if you are somebody who's, I guess a neat freak, there is a new napkin under development, a high-tech napkin that works to ward off and to warn you of harmful cooties. There's a revolutionary new type of napkin that's being developed. You'll be able to determine whether it's like a mood ring for cooties, I think, because you'll be able to determine whether a dangerous microbe is lurking on your kitchen counter or in the dirty looking spoon at a restaurant. These are nanofibers as small as 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter wide, and they are coated with antibodies, proteins, and dyes. And so it'll change to a different color if you wipe it on a contaminated surface. So you'll be able to know whether or not you are wiping a contaminated surface. So there you are, a high-tech napkin that is in the works to warn of harmful microbes. I wonder what we will call it. There's got to be a good name for something like that. And whoever develops it, I think, is going to make a lot of money. And here's something that I think bears scrutiny. There is a, let me see if I can find the information here. But instead, the FDA wants the meat processing companies to clean up their facilities. Now, remember, we don't have very many inspectors, the FDA. And a while back, there was a huge E. coli outbreak in Colorado that nobody knew about until long after it had occurred. And some of that E. coli-tainted meat came to restaurants and stores in California. But we'll never know what they are. The reason that we're never going to know is that we're not allowed by law to know. The feds share that information with the state of California only on condition that the state not make that information public. So, you know, presumably it could, if you can, you can kill E. coli at high temperatures, but presumably you could have eaten some of that tainted meat and you never would have known it unless you got sick. But the state's not going to tell you. Well, the feds want these meat processing firms to clean up their acts, clean up their facilities, because Listeria is a real concern. But some of these meat processing facilities don't want to do it. It's too expensive. They're dragging their feet. And so what they're doing instead is they're going to spray a certain kind of bacteria that's supposed to eat up this Listeria, and they're spraying it on processed meats like bologna and stuff like that. Well, I don't think this is a really great idea. Now, if you're a scientist, maybe this is good. But look at what the metaphor is here. We've got these tainted, everything in the world is tainted. These meats are tainted. The processing plants they're coming out of is tainted. The food supply is tainted. The cows are getting mad. We're getting madder. And all of it is done in the name of process. So it's a whole anything-goes society. Don't clean up your facility. Instead, spray the processed meats with this bacterial combination to clean up the Listeria and the other harmful cooties that reside there and could make us sick. In other words, we don't want you to get too sick. We want to clean it up so that if you do get sick, it's an under-the-radar kind of a sick, a kind of sick that you can recover from, and we'll just keep chipping away at the system. Let's not clean anything up. Let's not clean up the politics. Let's not clean up the war in Iraq. Let's not clean up the meatpacking firms. Let's not clean any of it up. Let's just spray bacteria over it. Let's just spray, a coating of a BS, verbal or otherwise, and it'll all be just perky. 349-1320. 866 626 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Webb.
Thank you so much, Enid. Well, our streets of Sacramento are clearing up. Alton Arden Way at Ethan. We do have a two-car crash, though, but no injuries. A two-car crash, Antelope North Road, and right there on the on-ramp at Keeper Boulevard at Rosemont. Three collisions, that's it. And we're at 648. I'm very proud of all of you. So tonight, lows 69, highs coming up tomorrow about 93, 94, and spare the air day, too. So you might want to take the transit tomorrow. Back with Maureen live at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey there, homeowner.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your ass. New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Struggling with too much.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boz Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things and going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me.
You and me.
Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 6:52 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours for just a few more minutes until 7 o'clock. And this just in, siding with Walmart and other large employers, Schwartzy did what he promised he was going to do in the newspaper. He vetoed legislation that would have required that they provide health care benefits for their employees or pay into a state health fund. In a veto message, Schwartzy said the bill was the wrong approach to tackling spiraling health care costs, singling out large employers and requiring them to spend an arbitrary amount on health care does nothing to lower costs or guarantee that even one more person has health care coverage, he said. You know, it's interesting because when Walmart doesn't do its part, we the people have to pick it up. Supporters of the bill had argued that it was needed to prevent companies with at least 10,000 California workers from shifting their health care costs to public assistance program. The bill by Senator Carol Migden, Democrat from San Francisco, would have required large companies to spend at least 8% of their total wages on health coverage for their workers or pay into a state fund to cover various health care programs. You know, if you're paying into that fund, it functions, I would think, the way that an insurance pool functions. The governor's statement, Migden said, that the bill accomplishes nothing is a slap in the face of the 40,000 Walmart employees as well as thousands of others who would have received real health care benefits. Walmart's business practices have become a charged political topic nationwide. You know, this is interesting. So here is Arnie siding with the people who are his real compatriots. And these, that means he's siding with Walmart and other large employers. Translated, that means other large donors. And he is scarfing up, he's vacuuming up money left and right, which gives a horrible appearance of being influenced by special interests at a time when all these legislative matters are coming up for his review. So it looks like he's on the take. At first he derided this practice, and now he can't get enough of it. I would like the Phil Angelides campaign, if it's not on life support, to make something out of this and to go to town on it and step on the gas with it. But. And I would like to go to that debate that's going to happen on October 7th at Sac State, where they're both going to be sitting down and taking questions, because one of them is taller than the other. I got this email from Art. He said he wonders what all the hullabaloo is about. He said here's a spirited race for the top office, but he doesn't understand why. He says Arnold needs a new internet manager, so stuff like what his stuff that he doesn't want people to hear shouldn't be so easily accessible on his site. Was not a case of hacking, so I don't understand why Angelita's people said anything. Let Arnold's crew do all the yelling and crying, shouting with no EFCO. Phil's campaign chair, who Art is describing as a woman who is totally without charisma, personality, or makeup, should quit apologizing for ambitious and creative members of her staff who sent a clip of the tape to the LA Times and let the story die without the he said, she said, or a counterpoint thingy thrown into big news when it isn't. Now Phil's crew is on the defensive. The Dems totally lack PR smarts, evidence. Think back on last presidential election and Kerry and Edwards letting charges, lies, misinformation, disinformation heralded by the Republicans with no response at all. Sure. Well, Kerry got swift voted. So this is an email from Art saying, look, why don't the Democrats wake up and respond? So here's Arnold showing his true colors. He's siding with Walmart and all the big business interests. He will go back to siding with them more overtly once the election is over, and he's not trying to seduce you out of your vote. And I keep asking the question, and I don't get a very good answer. For those of you who are big Arnold supporters, what has he done for the state of California in the 2 years that he has been governor? And I'm really not getting any concrete answers. I'm getting bogus answers. I'm getting usually no answers at all. People are stopped in their tracks when I ask the question. One guy calls in and says something to do with workers' comp. He's an employer. But then other people are contradicting Arnold's stance on the worker comp issues. But Phil is not making a huge... how would you feel if you were Angelo Tsakopoulos? I'm thinking about this. When they bailed Phil out of his bruising primary fight with Steve Wesley to the tune of...